What are you doing today, sir?
I'm f***ing you up.
F*** InfoWars, f*** your followers. You're a f***ing fascist pig.
I don't like fascists. I don't like InfoWars. I don't like young Nazis.
Go f*** yourself.
Hey, why? Why? What's wrong with me?
Assault is not boy talk, motherfucker.
I didn't. Who did I assault?
Not what the f***ing matter.
You're a white male. F*** all you Zion bitch. F*** all you racist bitch.
The good old white days are over with. The good old white days are over with. Ain't no more of them days, bro.
These people are literally all humping me right now. I'm literally... Are you a Christian pastor? This is mockery. What you're doing here is mockery, and you know it, and that's why you're kicking us off. That's why you called the cops on us. You don't have the power of God because you're not a godly man. I think you're a fraud.
Weren't you at the drag queen story? My face, mother. Weren't you at the drag queen story hour? Was that you? Was that you?
Get out of here. Go.
How you doing today, chicken? You're out here protesting Trump. Let's have a real conversation. Why don't you like Trump?
There's so many reasons. I don't want to go into it. Remember wars, because it's just not... I might tag.
What now?
I'm literally chasing a chicken. Got it live on video.
Like young Nazis.
Whoa.
Yeah. You know
wow.
what? If someone were to
You're
come
behaving
up...
like a fascist.
No.
This guy's
no,
literally
no.
in my face right now.
Wait a minute. Who walked up to who?
You! I have it on tape. You literally just walked up to me. Oh, now you're trying to assault me?
Oh, yeah.
Are you going to assault me?
I'm going to assault
What are you doing? Don't touch my equipment.
Cut your equipment.
You are a freak show. Oh, my God. Are you going to return that?
No.
Did you just lick my camera?
This dude just licked my camera.
What? Dude, seriously, do you realize how deranged you are? Like, you belong in a mental institution.
Do you make fart noises with your mouth? That's a yes. That's the first answer we've gotten out here.
You don't like walls? I don't like you.
Your mom doesn't like you either, does she?
Say that to my mom. She's watching.
I'm sorry he's your son. You did a shitty job.
Our president can grab a woman by the pussy. I can grab you by the balls.
She just grabbed my dick. Is that sexual assault? Is that sexual assault?
Yes.
So you just sexually assaulted me?
I did assault you.
Should you be arrested?
Arrest me.
What's it like being a gay frog?
You should go ask the gay mafia in Hollywood.
Dude, I could push you over like a fucking toothpick. No, I don't want to assault you. That's why I want you to leave me alone. You're a fucking soy boy twig hanging out with your coward pussy friend. Why don't you take your mask off and meet me in a boxing ring? Your friends wouldn't recognize you afterwards. Oh my, what's your problem, man? Hi, have I seen you before somewhere? Mindless zombies. Scoff! Scoff! I could drop every single one of you. Look at this guy. This guy's a joke. What don't you like about the travel ban?
You.
That makes a lot of sense. First you march and say Trump is Hitler, and then you march and say turn the guns into the government, which is exactly what Hitler did.
Explain to me how Trump is like Hitler.
Why are you getting so close?
I want you out of my face.
Seriously, you didn't want to have to deal with me today. I'm a loudmouth. I know that.
What? How do you look at yourself in the mirror?
With my two eyes. So this is Owen Schroyer from InfoWars.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday, and the InfoWars War Room is raw. Friday, April 17th, 2020, and the InfoWars War Room is Raw. Broadcasting live to band.video with you for the next 3 hours. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer. Guests coming up today. Tyler Nixon joining us in the first hour to talk about the latest developments in the Roger Stone case. Gretchen Smith from Code of Vets, who's on fire, joining us in the second hour as America is battling for its freedoms. And then Savannah Hernandez in studio, third hour, who's getting a little taste of the Nazi left censorship, a little taste of the Nazi left fake news. And so she's all fired up about that. And so that's all coming up. It is Friday. I'd like to squeeze in some calls, but a busy broadcast today. Where to begin? I was going to do this on my Twitter, but since I'm now banned there, I figured I'll do it live on air here today. And that is, respond to the U.S. Census 2020, where it's supposedly the law that you have to fill out your census, but it doesn't even ask if you're a citizen. And if you are a non-citizen, and if you came here and broke the law and continue to break the law to this day, you can take part in the non-citizen U.S. Census as well, and then also benefit with financial aid. But apparently it's punishable by law if I don't do the census. So do I take my census, fold it into a nice triangle, twist it sideways? Or do I fill it out and just say, oh, fine, just pillage my country a little bit more, I'll comply? We'll do that. I've also got some news here that I'm going to get to, but the big news that I want to talk about today, I'll just do it right now because I can sit here and we can belabor this point. But let's just wind up and throw this ball all the way downfield and let's see where it lands. Because here's the deal. They're gearing up right now to blame this entire pandemic on Trump. And it is so absurd. I mean, that's like blaming Trump think of some historical event in the 1600s or something. You know, I mean, this is like blaming Trump for Genghis Khan or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. Blaming Trump for Pompeii with the volcano. I mean, yeah. Oh, it's ridiculous. Oh, yeah. Trump spread the COVID-19, which came from Wuhan. Now, they're getting ready to run. So here's the next phase of this whole hoax, this coronavirus hoax. Yeah, the virus is real. It's killing people. But the whole global pandemic, deadly aspect of it, that's the hoax. And now we're seeing what the next phase of this is. They're getting ready to deflect off the Wuhan lab. And they're getting ready to, as they said in their own interviews, recriminate this to blame Donald Trump. Now, I didn't have time, and I wish I did, to pull the audio, and I wouldn't have time today anyway, from the NPR that probably went out nationwide, of this dummy author on there saying, we can't politicize a virus. That's just wrong. By the way, it's all Trump's fault. What? But that's what they do. Everything is political to these people. And again, I don't want to belabor this point. Again, I'll just put it out there and hope you understand it and hope it resonates. But folks, you got to understand, when the liberal progressive left talks about balance, the only balance is when everything leans their way. That's it. So if you had actual balance, it would be unbalanced to them. The only balance to them is everything weighed in their favor, everything rigged in their favor, everything in total control of them. So the leftist progressive mafia believes in balance. Sure they do. When they're in total control of the balance, when the balance is always favoring them. That's not balance. That's totalitarianism. That's authoritarianism. This is everything that is now basically a confab of the Democrat Party, the Chinese Communist, and then their stupid minions, their brainwashed hordes that still want to blame everything on Trump. Hey, I could sit here and I could complain about Trump all day. Trump hasn't been doing this for years. Trump hasn't been at it for years. Trump's in the arena. Trump's trying to stand up for America. He's not perfect. I wish he would do more. Believe me. I mean, my rights are getting hacked up left and right up here under Trump's administration. So we'll see how it goes. Trump can determine his own fate, but America should determine its own fate. Not Bill Gates, not Nancy Pelosi, who can't, I mean, she shows off her $25,000 refrigerator filled with cartons of ice cream. And by the way, that's not even her probably double decks of refrigerator she has in her basement stocked with vodka. She bathes in vodka, you'd assume, the way she behaves. But I'm getting off topic. Folks, they're getting ready to deflect the blame off of Wuhan because now it's being totally exposed. It came out of that lab. So now they're going to say, oh, no, it didn't come from Wuhan. And they're going to think that you're so stupid and you can't read and that you'll never know the facts because they've banned InfoWars everywhere. Folks, everything points to this came out of Wuhan. Everybody knows it came out of Wuhan. You can debate because this is the new Fox News twist. So they give the story to Fox News. Fox News breaking. It came from a bio research lab. Oh, my gosh. But 2 months after InfoWars told you. But here's the catch, folks. The Fox News breaking story is always going to include not a bioweapon, but to build vaccines. Well, you know what? You want to play semantics. That's fine. If somebody is working with a virus to put vaccines in a bunch of humans unwittingly and force them to do it, a foreign substance, well, guess what? You can call it a vaccine, but a vaccine is the bioweapon. So you can say, well, they were studying with the bat flu. Fox News exclusive, even though InfoWars had it 2 months ago. We're going to claim it's our exclusive because we're telling you it's not a bioweapon. So even though they reported it first, we're reporting it now as the exclusive, and it's not a bioweapon. That's the exclusive. It was simply for vaccines, which are your friend. No. A foreign substance that you want to force into my body is a bioweapon. But guess what? You want to continue to play semantics? I can play all day long. Guess what? It came out of the lab. It got released. It spread worldwide. And then they lied about it and covered up. That's now a bioweapon. So can you believe that Fox News would be so disgraceful? Now, standing up for the Chinese communists. And I want to be clear, there's great people at Fox News. This isn't an umbrella statement. And I'm not even attacking Bret Baier. It's just, this is how the mainstream news treats you. Like a child. Like a mother bird, they need to regurgitate the food into your mouth. You can't chew for yourself. Oh, don't worry, it's not a bioweapon. And then what do we find out? The woman that works at the Wuhan Institute, where this virus came out, is the woman working at Facebook censoring all the news and is the woman that's going to profit massively when they roll out their vaccine for this. Just like Bill Gates. But here's the narrative shift coming, folks. Cambridge University, which, by the way, same university that tried to say, this is not a man-made virus. Trust us. That same Cambridge is now saying, wait a second. This didn't originate in Wuhan. Ah, so if you weren't suspicious of Cambridge before, now your suspicion has been totally confirmed. But see, it doesn't stop there with them getting ready to move the blame off of Wuhan and move the blame onto Trump. Folks, they're caught red-handed. China, I have the story right here. Chinese city stops outbound flights, trains from Wuhan to fight virus. China stopped all travel out of Wuhan in January domestically. But guess what? Wuhan was still flying domestic or internationally. So China knew what was going on and tried to stop the spread in China, but let it go to the world.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
War Room is raw. Now look, the Chinese communists have been caught red-handed unleashing this man-made virus on the world. And the fact that you have, whether willing or unwilling, witting or unwitting, operatives of China covering it up, lying about it, and then attempting to blame Donald Trump is criminal. It's an act of war. So, how will America respond? And you know, I gotta say, look, I'm the farthest thing from a war hawk. But you measure things. You measure the American response to 9/11. And then you say, well, how do we measure this response to China? Do we nuke China? Do we nuke that lab? Do we move troops into China? Do we try to unleash unbearable sanctions on China? Do we declare war with China? Well, we can't do that. We've been in about 10 wars that are never ending, so that's impossible to fight a real war now. You see how that works. That's how they've handicapped our military in legitimate strategic action. By spreading us so thin and putting us on missions where there's no clear victory, now we're hamstrung. So, hey, you want to have a real fight with China? Well, oops, that'll take about a year just to get prepared for that and try to deal with all the other wars and stations and everything that we're involved in. So, plus now we're handicapped in the South China Sea and they know it. So that's a bit of a problem. But again, you measure the response to 9/11. Well, how do we respond to China then? But they've been caught red-handed, folks. And then the great crew I have was also mentioning during the break, hey, don't forget to point out how China was buying up all the protective masks in January. And then when all the other countries were running out, like France calls China. Hey, you guys got a stockpile of masks. We need some of those for our people. Can we get those masks off you? And China says, no. But if you take Huawei's 5G and roll out Huawei's 5G infrastructure in France, then we'll give you the masks. Ah. Of course, it was the 5G that was also in Wuhan. So there's no doubt there's a connection between the 5G and the virus. Now, measuring which one is the more deadly thing, I mean, that's a debate in and of itself. But we already know the 5G waves mutate your cells, and then that allows the virus to get into your cells. So maybe the virus is already in your body. Maybe you can catch the virus, and then it when your cells are mutating. But we're never going to have this debate because they just tell us not to ask about the 5G. Don't be a conspiracy theorist. Just accept the given narrative, which is going to end up being, oops, this was a mistake coming from China. Now, again, they're trying to deflect with that already with the University of Cambridge, which is just fake news on its face to me now, saying, no, wait, this did not originate in Wuhan. Well, then why did it outbreak in Wuhan? Is it because of the 5G then? Of course, they're not going to say that. But again, folks, the Chinese government stopped domestic travel, trains, planes, and automobiles out of Wuhan. China stopped it out of Wuhan, okay? They stopped everything coming out of Wuhan except international flights. And so international flights out of Wuhan kept going to Heathrow, to New York, LaGuardia, to LAX, to O'Hare. And then it spread. And then we have to forfeit all of our rights and we have to be told to shelter in place, even though we don't even know the truth about this virus. And then it's just freedom is suspended indefinitely and just go along with that or you're causing everybody to die. And now they're saying, oh my gosh, it was all Trump's fault. That's like somebody has a dog in their house. Okay. And then they let the dog out in the backyard and it hops the fence and then goes out and attacks the neighbor. And the neighbor's kids in the yard. And then after it attacks the neighbor's kids and and they're all bloody, and then it goes to the rest of the neighbor and attacks them. That's like the owner of that house and the owner of the dog coming out and looking at his neighbor like, what the hell, man? Why'd you let that dog run around wild in the streets biting all the neighbors? What the hell's your problem? And he's like, what? I stood right here when the dog came running out of your backyard, chopped my neck, attacked my daughter, attacked my toy poodle, nearly killing it, and then ran down the streets. That was your dog, bro. You let that dog out. Oh, my gosh. How dare you blame that person for his dog? Don't blame China. That's racist. And then Nancy Pelosi, who's not banned for Twitter. Oh, guys, I just had 10 sake bombs in Chinatown. Come on down. I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry. I've got the news in front of me here. They were just showing a rally in Richmond yesterday to reopen the government. Twice, two different individuals had Space Force t-shirts on that they just showed on Fox Business. I mean, this is the InfoWars revolution happening right now. It's kind of weird for me, quite frankly. I mean, really, I need to like take a full spectrum analysis for like 48 hours from like orbit and then come back down into it. But no time for that right now. So China's caught red-handed making the virus. China's caught red-handed lying about the outbreak and then spreading the virus. And then American media is trying to blame President Trump. Hey, look, I can sit here and I can be mad at Trump all day long. He's doing nothing about the attack on free speech. Hey, look, I don't even care. I know my role. But at a certain point in time, you got to understand, folks, when I'm seeing people get praise from the president and from Don Jr. and all these people that wouldn't lift a pinky finger for anyone else but themselves, getting all the praise and acclamation when we get none, you know, I get a little mad. I'm being perfectly honest. That does upset me a little. You want credit for your work. But hey, we're the Dark Knight. I understand that. My beef is that nothing is being done about the censorship. That's my beef. Because it's not about us. If it was about us, we'd be up here every day. We'd be up waving our hands. Hey, we told you all about this for 20 plus years. Yeah, we still do that every day. But we could just make the whole show about that. We can go air the documentary all day long. We can go back and pile through all the clips of me warning Trump for years that they'll crash the economy if he doesn't arrest the deep state. But this is what's going on. And here's going to be the next narrative, folks, too. Here's the headline. George Stephanopoulos accused of improper social distancing after coronavirus diagnosis. It's all fake, folks. Okay? It's all fake. They're using this thing and they're going to say, oh, because he didn't social distance, he got coronavirus and now he spread it. And boy, he may be a criminal. And Stephanopoulos is a known operative of whoever pays him the most. So let's say it's China this time. It's the Clintons last time. It's China this time, whoever it is. And so he just goes along with it because he just hates you and your family. He just hates the truth. He just stomps all over the truth. But China's been caught red-handed, folks, just like the Democrats and Obama have been caught red-handed engaging in treason. So it's like I'm just sitting up here wondering when the president of the United States is going to do his job.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast
contains
subject matter
that might offend
liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Victory or death. The InfoWars War Room is raw. And my next guest, Tyler Nixon, is going to give us the latest breaking news on the Roger Stone case. Folks, I meant to do this in the last segment because I don't want to cut into Tyler's time. So I'm just going to do this real quick. But it's going to be hard for me because I am really excited about the latest product at InfoWarsStore.com. I had no idea this was coming. It's God's providence that we already had this in the works. But Emmerich's Essentials Organic Hand Sanitizer is officially at InfoWarsStore.com. Folks, I'm not even kidding you. Before we even knew that this hand sanitizer shortage was coming, we were already in the works in this. And it's just like providential. We're releasing it as you can't even get hand sanitizer. But let me tell you why this is actually so amazing. Yes, it's organic. Yes, it has some of my favorite scents out there like eucalyptus and lavender. But let me show you the difference between this hand sanitizer and every other hand sanitizer you've ever seen. Doc Cam, please. Now, normally with hand sanitizer, what are you dealing with? It's kind of an awkward thing. You got to squeeze the tube and you got to hope you get the right amount. You usually get too much and then it's just a messy situation. But check this out. One spray. If you really want to go hard, two sprays. Look at that. No mess. Perfect balance on your hands. You don't have to like move your hands around to get that glob of hand sanitizer. No, it's just a simple spray. And you're like, oh, you know what? I could use a little more there. Boom. Hit it again. No mess. Very easy to use. Smells great, too. It doesn't have the overwhelming toxic, like chemical smell of alcohol. Smells good. You put this on, you're like, wow, that smells good. Folks, the Emmerich's Essentials Organic Hand Sanitizer in eucalyptus, in peppermint, in lavender. It's at InfoWarsStore.com now. There's a hand sanitizer shortage, but not at InfoWarsStore.com. It's a true miracle that we've been working on this and God's providence that we have this available for you now when there's a hand sanitizer shortage. And even more providential, this is literally the best hand sanitizer you're going to find. I've never seen a spray bottle like this before. I can't wait to put one of these in my car. I can't wait to put one of these in my kitchen. I can't wait to have one of these on my desk. This is awesome. Emmerich's Essentials Organic Hand Sanitizer at InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, I now want to give the platform to Tyler Nixon. I'm going to shut my big fat yapper, and let's hear from Tyler Nixon. So Tyler, the judge, the jury, everything totally exposed, the corruption of this trial against Roger Stone, cut and dry, just logistics on its face, mistrial, if anything, a retrial. And now they're just saying, nah, yeah, we were fully exposed. We're all corrupt. We're all dirty cops. But you know what? You're not getting that mistrial, bud, because we're making an example out of you. This is outrageous. This is egregious. Tyler Nixon, break it down.
Well, the news is that the judge, unsurprisingly, and to nobody's, to all our expectations, denied Roger's motion for a new trial on the basis of juror bias and potential misconduct. There was a motion pending to release the juror questionnaire so that the other jurors, I presume, could be scrutinized by the public and vetted. To this point, I guess we have secret courts and like FISA courts, things like that. We also have secret juries, apparently, where, folks can convict someone and send them to prison for potentially years of their lives. But their identities are somehow concealed from the public and they're not up to scrutiny or they're not supposed to be scrutinized. If you've heard of the Dunning-Kruger effect, I think that's what we're dealing with. It's basically where you're if you're incompetent, you don't know that you're incompetent. I mean, we're dealing with people who are so partisan and so deep into their biases and into their dogma, their militant dogma about the all-powerful federal government and the absolute spotlessness of the federal judiciary and a judge like Amy Berman Jackson who can get on her high horse and act as though she's some sort of arbiter and the avatar of pure justice and has no biases whatsoever can sit and panel an entirely 100% Democrat jury with clear biases, I mean, clear political orientation in some cases that's been disclosed, and not one single Republican, not one single, blue collar worker, not one single veteran on that jury in Washington, D.C., in the swamp where, I mean, clearly I think you're going to have Democrat activism that's run amok. If you're not dealing with federal employees, you're dealing with political activists or lobbyists who are all oriented toward a big Leviathan federal government and would hate a Roger Stone and would have animus toward a Roger Stone as much as they do towards a President Trump, whom Roger was, critical and very much getting into politics and helping get elected president. So unsurprisingly, Judge Amy Berman Jackson has denied Roger's order for new trial, which means that his order of conviction has been now entered. And he has no less than 2 weeks, but is at the discretion of the Department of, I guess, his probation and corrections, will have to report, whatever they order him to go to prison, basically, and begin serving the 3-year, 4-month roughly term ordered by this autocratic judge who has had nothing but hostility and bias from the very beginning against Stone in all instances. And she wrote an 81-page memorandum opinion, if you can imagine. 81 pages to answer a simple motion for
not opinionated, though.
No, not
81
at all.
Pages and, of non-opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's all prefaced by, you know, the president came out, and it's just a campaign by Stone, essentially.
Oh, yeah, if you're reading it, you would think it was a New York Times hit piece.
Yeah, no, it reads exactly like the, you know, you would track the left's, you know, view of things, which is that they are above everything. They are the arbiters of truth, and they are the ones who are going to narrate reality to the rest of us because we're all just rubes and we don't know better, that there's no possibility that they could be biased, that they can have any inherent or latent, prejudices against someone like Roger Stone. And she was essentially saying, well, yes, this jury four person who came out and basically stated her support for the prosecutors, after the fact, after she was following up on another juror's multiple appearances and a public opinion piece where he said, or an opinion piece in the Washington Post where he said, you know, we were very fair and, you know, just defended the whole process. Again, as though their political biases, even though they come out after the fact of the trial and, you know, pile on to the whole process against Roger Stone. The whole thing is just disgusting beyond belief. I mean, it is such a miscarriage of justice. Even before you get to this issue of entirely packed jury that is in no way, in my opinion, in the aggregate impartial. And, you know, there's been exposed, obviously, this woman concealed or to some extent was hedging and shady, I would say, about her, and it's right in the opinion too, how she said, you know, maybe I can't remember if I posted on Facebook, maybe something about Roger Stone. She was repeatedly tweeting things to the effect of the KKK president and it's Trump's a racist. And, you know, she mentioned Roger Stone at one point.
Which, by the way, she lied about her activity on the questionnaire.
Yeah, I mean, that remains to be seen. I don't know. I can't say she. Well, here's the thing. She's an attorney. She said, maybe I can't remember. I don't know. Well,
an attorney, you know, that's code word for I know I'm lying, but I don't want to admit it. And I'm giving myself protection.
James Comey and Hillary Clinton would be proud with that, you know, with her answers to that.
It's the old Roger Clemens. Oh, I misremembered.
Yeah, she didn't even check the yes or no to the question of whether she had, you know, posted in social media, which right there was a red flag. Now, of course, you know, Roger's attorneys, his trial attorneys, could have, I guess, presumably challenged her. But the judge at times reflects exactly in this opinion what she did during the trial, during the impaneling phase, the voir dire, which was to say that, well, just because you're a Democrat, just because you've posted things against Trump doesn't mean you won't be biased. You would be biased against Roger Stone. Doesn't mean that you would. You know, this is ridiculous. This is, again, the Dunning-Kruger effect. These people are so deep in their biases that they actually believe that they're nonpartisan, that they're fair people, that they don't have any sort of underlying, even subconscious animus against a Roger Stone that would be able to send this man down the river on a basis of a completely contrived case, which, I mean, is a joke. I mean, if you've I recently listened to the audiobook version of Greg Jarrett's book, The Russia Hoax, I'm going
to
tell you what.
Well, let's get into that. Let's actually get into that. We're about to go to break. Let's get, because there's latest breaking news on the Russia hoax, too. But, you know, folks, this whole thing, you know, I don't like this treatment of the law like it's some sort of rigid structure. Folks, justice is not rigid. It's fluid, okay? And there's no justice here. This is just rigid law.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, Tyler Nixon is with us. I want to be a little clearer here because Tyler was kind of giving me a funny look there at the end. I want to explain what I mean by this. So what I'm saying is they can't write laws that say you can't lie to the FBI or that's it for you, buddy. Well, wait a second. The FBI sits here and lies to us all day long. So if we have a rigid structure of law that just says cut and dry, you lie to the FBI, you're going to jail, sucker. Well, no, that's not justice. And so my point here is that there's a balance here. We've gone from a land of justice to a land of law where, hey, look, we have laws for order, but then we have a fluid justice system that we put to the test every time you enter a courtroom. Now, that's my philosophy. Tyler Nixon may have a different philosophy on the law. This is a debate that rages in America forever. That's what keeps the system good. That's what keeps the system modern. But the other point, too, that you were talking about before we get into the Russian thing, because I had this written down before you even said it. And I said this earlier, too, Tyler. You know, the left balance to the progressive militant left is everything is in their favor. So what they've done to Roger Stone, to them, that's balance. To the left and to the Democrats, balance is them being able to pick somebody out and then using the system totally against them. To them, that's balance. Total authoritarianism, totalitarianism. That's balance to them. Of course, that's not balance, but that's how these people operate. The Roger Stone case is the perfect example. So let's finish up on that and comment on what I just said. And then let's talk about how the treason committed by Hillary Clinton's people and the Obama administration going after President Trump with fake Russian collusion, those are the real crimes. Those are the people that need to be questioned, not Roger Stone.
Absolutely. And I agree with you 100% that the purpose of law is justice, and that the mere execution of law, the mere prosecution of statutes is not necessarily justice. Plenty of people have been railroaded and served injustice through law. I mean, we had Jim Crow laws. Would anybody say those are just? Would anybody say any of the laws that supported slavery were just because they were executed and followed? Of course not. You know, I think J. Edgar Hoover famously said that no, the purpose of law, or you know, justice is only incidental to law. Now that shows you, you know, you see exactly the type of FBI we have now, where it's like this gotcha enforcement against selected political targets, as we saw in the case of Roger Stone. Meanwhile, actual public officials at the highest levels, including their own director, were committing crimes willy-nilly, including lying to Congress and abusing their offices and manipulating and rigging for based on either their own purposes or for partisan purposes, prosecutions and setting people up. I mean, the FBI, it's now come out that they incorporated Russian misinformation, if not disinformation, in the Steele dossier into their applications for FISA warrants, which even after they found out or were told was, you know, the information was bogus and it was Russian misinformation, continued to reapply for these FISA warrants used against Trump campaign people. And I mean, just it's insane. It's really, again, this Dunning-Kruger effect, but, you know, in a malicious kind of way, where it's you have people in government who view their actions, no matter what they do, as right and just and justifiable and, you know, in the interest of whatever it is they're pursuing. In other words, because you're in government, you don't have to worry about it. Hey, whatever you do, it reminds me of sort of what Richard Nixon said in the David Frost interviews. When I think he didn't say it as I think as articulately as he could, but he said something like the effect of when the president does it, it's not illegal. What he was trying to say is that you can't indict a sitting president, you know, and that's just because the president is the chief law enforcement officer, regardless of what you may hear. When Trump said that, the left suddenly, who called every Democrat president previously the chief law enforcement officer of the country, said Trump's not the chief law enforcement officer, the attorney general is, and blah, blah, blah. You know, once again, of course, shifting their position. The point being, though, you know, they say no one is above the law. I mean, they put themselves outside the law, though. Now they're above, below, or, you know, in between. They view themselves as sort of, they'll dispense with the laws. They'll tell you what it is. So we have, for example, this autocratic, clearly authoritarian leftist judge who, in the case of Roger Stone, was willing to in no way presume his innocence concerning just leading up to the case. And you recall he was gagged for all those months because of this ridiculous leftist mania, this hypocritical sort of hysteria that resulted from his posting something that had a tiny little symbol from another entity that he wasn't associated with that was in their logo that looked like a reticle, or I guess a small tiny crosshair that was near the judge, you know, or was put up above, you know, her head, I guess, somewhere. Suddenly that's a death threat to a federal judge. And he was given no benefit of the doubt on that, even after he apologized and said, look, you know, I that was no way intended to be a threat, but you
which
know,
is
I apologize.
Just, it's so ridiculous a precedent. It's like a zodiac sign, or like you could put a dot on there and they would say, oh my gosh, the dot is a sniper rifle. It's like, no, this was not a threat at all. It was just a graphic. And by the way, that's the other thing too. People don't understand, like when you're in media and you've got teams of people putting out stuff, like you don't even know half the stuff that goes out, you know, because right. it's just a full on just like media push. But, Tyler, you know, we can sit here based off these people's actions and assume they're corrupt. At least I will. I mean, their actions prove that. But I'm not assuming these people are dumb. They know that this entire Russian collusion hoax is just that, a hoax. They know that. Amy Berman Jackson knows that, okay? She may be corrupt as the day is long. I don't think she's dumb. And so how do we now, I mean, it's like, how do we bring this up so that the public sees that the beyond dereliction of justice? This is criminal intent, what they're doing here. And we now have, it's beyond, Tyler, this is ridiculous. Obama and Hillary, they all colluded with Russia. They knew it was fake news coming from Russia. They're going to twist the narrative and say, oh my gosh, we didn't know this Russian intelligence was bad. Well, you denied you got Russian intelligence to begin with. So they just think people are dumb. How do we get this through the average American's head to see that this is not just a failed attempt at justice? This is criminal activity.
Yeah. I wish I had a silver bullet answer for that for you, Owen. But, you know, the thing is, we've got an entire propaganda complex posing as the so-called mainstream media who have hammered this nonsense, and they never give up. They refuse. I mean, there used to be in politics years ago when I was growing up, if someone was caught in a crime or they were caught in some bold-faced lie or trying to set somebody up, look, even people in the media said, look, we're not going to defend this, okay? And people would be shamed out of politics. It was possible to shame people out of politics for misconduct. Not anymore. It's like we've gone from sociopathy with certain people into this diabolical psychopathology, basically. They're psychopaths. They will not stop. When they are caught red-handed, they double down. You can have an Andrew McCabe whining and complaining that how long it took for them to, in my view, wrongfully and illegitimately clear him of his clear crimes that he admitted, his leaking and his lying about his leaking while he was deputy director of the FBI. And you know, they don't care. I mean, they literally are so deep into their power mania, their egomania, their megalomania, that they're willing to just keep going with what, even when it's exposed. It was like Bill Clinton. It all starts with the Clintons, frankly. It all started back during that era in the late 90s when it was like Bill Clinton is going to lie straight to your face and the media is not going to really challenge it. And they can't be shamed out of government. They're never going to leave. They're going to be carried out. Just like Hillary Clinton, doesn't matter how many crimes you expose from her, how many lies, how many manipulations, no matter what, she's never going to come off it. She's never going to have shame. She's never going to be shamed, and she's never going to give up. They're always going to keep coming at us. So what do you do in these cases? It falls upon the president. And you know, the problem is they've infested our Justice Department, the Department of Justice. They've infested the FBI with all these minions, with all these hacks who are willing to basically just sign off on whatever it is. I mean, you saw it with Page and Strzok. You know, these people were like, I recall, and I mentioned Greg Jarrett's book. I listened to the audiobook version. I thought it was excellent, you know, because they read the texts. And it was like when they said something in effect, well, you know, you don't want to piss off, so to speak, Hillary, because she's going to be probably the president and she's not going to look and remember the difference between the DOJ and the FBI when it came to how she was prosecuted or how she was treated. Well, there you go. That says it all right there. They're making decisions concerning criminal prosecutions and the pursuit of, you know, obvious crimes in her case. And they're also doing it on a political basis, and they're doing it in favor of one person and to curry favor with them. I mean, this is corruption that's so essential. It boggles my mind. I don't know where we go. I mean, I almost think it has to die out generationally.
Well, let me ask you that on the next side here. We're about to take a break. Let me ask you that and then also ask you basically the window of time for the president to make sure that there isn't a total, criminal act against Roger Stone here. He shouldn't have to even see a jail cell, ladies and gentlemen. The president needs to act before he even has to smell a jail cell. And so we'll talk about the real Russian collusion and what the president needs to do for Roger Stone coming up with Tyler Nixon. But folks, do you realize how big of a joke and clown world this is? When you have people getting arrested for paddleboarding in California, when you have people getting arrested for sitting on a park bench, but James Comey and John Brennan and Andy McCabe are walking free laughing, that is a damn joke.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, here's the deal with Tyler Nixon right now. I want Tyler to address something, and I need him to do it quickly because I have to ask you a very important question in the last 60 seconds of this segment. So I need you to be concise here for a very important question. But knowing the backdrop of the real crimes with the Russian collusion hoax and how that was the the antithesis of the beginning of the attack on Roger Stone, which of course ended up with his conviction. And then what does the president have to do and when to make sure that Roger Stone never sees a jail cell?
Well, first go to stonedefensefund.com. Roger's fight goes on. He's going to appeal. Now his appeal rights his ability to appeal is vested. He's got roughly a couple weeks coming up here when he can enter his appeal. That's obviously ongoing. What the president can do is pardon Roger Stone immediately, and he needs to do that because this is an outrage. It's a travesty of justice. Roger Stone has been so punished and so unjustly destroyed by this malicious persecution by these people, from the Mueller team all the way to the prosecution team against him, and to this judge and the jury and beyond. And that's the only way I think it's going to be righted. And the left, just real quick, who are claiming that the president's pardon powers are not beyond, they're literally trying to say that he can't pardon Roger Stone, implying in some cases even that the judge could refuse the pardon. They're out of their minds. I mean, they're completely daft. And to say they actually try to tie the prosecution against Stone to the Ukrainian, whatever the nonsense was for the impeachment. So that's what needs to happen. The president needs to pardon Roger Stone. He needs to do it now. And he needs to not wait till the election or till the election's over.
And what is the window of time? You say what? It's about a month or 2 months here.
Well, they're releasing people for coronavirus, particularly elderly.
But again, paddleboard in California, you know, they got room for you.
Yeah. As I understand it, Michael Cohen was released. They let Avenatti out. I mean, who's like way a real criminal. Now he's going to be, I'm sure he won't. He's only out temporarily. That being said, look, I don't think the Department of Corrections or whoever the federal marshals, whoever handle that, are going to necessarily be in a big hurry to get Roger Stone into prison if he goes at all. So it would be no less than 2 weeks from her issuance of the order, which was yesterday. So up to 2 weeks from now, he could potentially be summoned and, you know, voluntarily have to report to whatever facility they've decided he's going to go into. And at which point, you know, that's when the president should do it now. He should do it right away. But he certainly must do it before Roger Stone ever sees the inside of any type of correctional facility.
Or has to pay any more legal fees. I mean, this is just getting out of control.
Yeah.
And you know.
It is. Yeah.
I just feel like there are so many things the president could do to have immediate victory. And you just scratch your head and wonder why. I mean, why is he playing political correct ball with these people? Shove it down their damn throats. Pardon Roger Stone and make him a campaign advisor. Pardon General Flynn and put him on your security team. I mean, this is a damn joke. Rub this right into their damn face and say, guess what? America's back, bitch. You're not going to run us into the ground. You're not going to put us in jail. You're not going to censor us. Kiss my ass. Now.
Yeah. I mean, nobody's asking him to go after people and to use this, to prosecute people unjustly as they have done, simply correct the injustices that they've perpetrated under his watch, frankly. He's responsible for the Department of Justice. It's his Department of Justice. He needs to correct that wrong because it is a malicious injustice been done to Roger Stone.
All right, now, this is the 60-second question that I had to ask you. And you've got the Grateful Dead vest on right now, so I have to ask, what is your favorite Grateful Dead album of all time?
Oh, man, it's like asking to choose my favorite child. I'll tell you, my first album was Working Man's Dead, and I would say American Beauty right after that, which are two iconic albums that sort of capture the American spirit. And, I love those two. But I'm more of a live performance guy. I've got thousands of hours of live audio. I've been I went to 71 Dead concerts while they were still the Grateful Dead. And they're a fun band. They're the true American band. They're the American spirit. They sort of they're painted as hippies and all this, but really they were the entrepreneurs who built a foundation on their own performances and their own talents and weren't pushed around by record execs and became millionaires from it, and rightly so. And I think they captured the American spirit in so many ways. Experimentation.
I'm going to go with Terrapin Station. A little outside the box.
Great one. Oh, yeah.
Terrapin Station is my favorite. Yeah. Tyler Nixon, always informative, always fun. Thank you, Tyler.
Thank
you. Pure fire! Now! You know, I can only imagine if we had millions of patriots out there like Gretchen Smith fighting for this country every day, getting veterans involved, getting veterans back on their feet, not bowing to tyranny. It's just like, it's just, we would save this country overnight if we just had the right attitude. And the reason I wanted to get Gretchen Smith on today is because she's been bringing the fire on this issue for months now. And so I needed some of that Gretchen Smith fire here today. But folks, I got to say, the fire is spreading nationwide. And this is totally unwitting. I didn't ask for this, but people are sending these to my producer. I got a couple of them on my desk here. We've got the March to Open California, folks. This is happening May 1st at noon. Los Angeles City Hall, Sacramento Capitol Building, San Diego Padres Stadium, Orange County, Huntington Beach Pier, WeHaveRights.com. I just got this graphic sent to me. Wisconsin Freedom Rally, April 24th, 1 p.m., State Capitol Grounds. You've seen what's happened in Michigan, Ohio, North Carolina, Virginia. Big one coming up in Austin, Texas this Saturday, noon, State Capitol. So this is what the American resurgence looks like. The problem is we have this succubus still on our back, this tyrannical government still on our back, acting unilaterally, telling us we don't have rights. No, we do. And then you hear the governor of New Jersey, when asked by Tucker Carlson, he said, well, I didn't even consider the Bill of Rights when I decided to shut down the country. Oh, really? Well, guess what then? You're fired. You're fired. That guy, there should have been a million people outside of the governor's mansion in New Jersey the next day demanding he be fired. Oh, you didn't consider the Bill of Rights when you took my rights? Guess what? You're fired. But see, we don't have that, do we? Which is sad. Now, Gretchen Smith, what do you see happening right now? What is your spirit telling you? What is your soul telling you as we're seeing the American resurgence happening? We're seeing patriots demand their rights be given back. They're going to have to take them is what it looks like. But we still see the Bill Gates forcing the vaccine. Oh, you can't go back out until we have a vaccine, says Fauci. This is an indefinite suspension of your freedom because of a virus. Really? Because I know the New Jersey governor didn't read the Bill of Rights, but I don't remember reading it and then it saying, all rights suspended if there's a virus. I don't remember reading that, Gretchen.
You know what? We the people have had enough, and the tyrannical government is still pushing hard every day, moving forward, their machine trying to force us into a corner, force us into our homes, wanting us to have power in our houses, not work, not earn a paycheck, not pay our bills, not be able to feed our families. But you know what? We've had enough. We have our freedoms have been bought and paid for by our blood, our sweat, our tears, our limbs, and our lives. And we are not going to stand on the sidelines while they keep us in our homes. It's insane. What is going on in our country is not American. This is not the United States of America. This is not how the Constitution is supposed to be adhered to or protected. It's being stomped on. And we, the people, are fed up. I am seeing it more and more every day like you, Owen. There are more Americans stepping up and saying, no more. We've had enough. You pushed us into this corner. And we're not going to live in our homes. We are going to go out and work because that's what Americans do. It's called rugged individualism. We take care of ourselves. We don't rely on the government to pay our bills because they do a damn bad job of it. And as we're all seeing, there's a big portion of us not getting the funding we're supposed to get. Where's it at? How are we supposed to eat? How are we supposed to pay
our bills? Oh, yeah, yeah. Guys, pull that up. The PPP or the PPE stimulus is already exhausted. And most people who applied for it can't even get the funds. They're already gone. Oh, but don't worry. The JFK Center and all of Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer's pork barrel, their cash is coming.
It's disgusting. We have hungry veterans. We have veterans sitting in apartments with no water, no electricity, waiting on this $1,200 check. We have small business owners that are veterans as well and that pay other Americans. 4% have gotten that. They're out of money after 4% of applicants. That's insane. That doesn't even begin to touch the problem that we have in America. This is a catastrophe. This is historic. We are living through something like we have never experienced before. And there's a domino effect, Owen. People are already hungry.
Well, I mean, literally, not just like hungry for liberty that they're having revoked, but I mean, people are actually hungry, folks. And there's a big difference, too, because let me tell you, hey, well, this is great. America's waking up. We're rallying. We're taking our country back. That's good. But, folks, when you start seeing food riots, that's not good. We want to stop that. That's why we have to open this now. I mean, we haven't really seen how bad it could get as far as that is concerned in America with food riots and stuff. I mean, you've seen what happened when people's EBT cards get rejected at Walmart. They start throwing fits, knocking down shelves, just demanding everything for free. But, you know, I'm glad that you brought something up that our freedoms were paid for by the blood of patriots before us. Yeah, I've never understood this, Gretchen. It's not just in America. People need to understand this is a worldwide thing. But in the modern world, America's the golden crown jewel. People have been fighting for self-government and independence for the entire history of Earth. People have been fighting for their freedom the entire history of Earth. Right now, America is the crown jewel of this. That's why it's the most successful country on Earth, highest standard of living. Everybody wants to come here. So I'm just scratching my head at all these people that are willing to give up their freedoms. And I'm like, don't you realize that millions of humans have fought and died for the chance to be free? Just the chance. Many of them knowing that they're probably going to die anyway. A 1% chance of being free is worth their lives. And we're just willing to give it all up?
I'm telling you what, we are a beacon of light. We are a beacon of hope to the world. The American dream is fragile. We have to protect it because it's so unique. And what I don't understand is there are millions of Americans, sheep, who are following the leaders to the slaughter. I don't know what the agenda is behind the scenes, but I don't trust it. My sense of discernment is just in overdrive right now. Our government does not have our best interests at heart as we the people. There's something going on there. They are trying to remove our freedoms blatantly, systematically, and there hasn't been any gunshots fired. Why is that? Why are we not fighting back? Where is our American fire? Why are we not protecting our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness?
Well, they use this backdrop of political correctness against us to keep us mental slaves. Hey, look, you know what? Nancy Pelosi's a damn traitor to this country, okay? Barack Obama's a damn traitor to this country. So they'll run hit pieces saying, oh my gosh, Owen Schroyer said Barack Obama need to be hanged. Well, wait a second. If Obama commits treason and then I read the U.S. code for treason, I'm not saying Barack Obama should be hanged. I'm saying this is the code for treason. Let's investigate this guy. Let's see what he did with Spygate. Let's see what they did giving $500 billion to Iran in cash. Never offered you that money, but boy, Iran got it. And then Dianne Feinstein comes out and says, oh, Iran is hit so hard with this coronavirus. We need to send them a stimulus package. You had a Chinese spy in your employ driving around for 20 years, Dianne Feinstein. You should already be behind jail. But see, Americans are so scared, Gretchen. Oh, I don't want to say the wrong thing. Oh, I don't want to be accused of being violent. Oh, this isn't worth it to me.
It's disgusting. We have a two-tier justice system in our country. That's not how we were designed. Our foundation is not set up that way. But what has happened is these career politicians have created another level of justice all for themselves. They can do whatever they want. They can make deals behind the back, these closed doors with lobbyists and get rich off of it. They were selling their stock, knew about what was going to happen, sold their stock off and just sold, you know, left we the people out hanging to dry. And I honestly don't understand how D.C. can step up and say that we have your back. We are the American people's voice. It is the exact opposite. I look at them as the enemy. It is we, the people, versus D.C. at this point, and I'm ready to rumble.
Well, you're not alone. But see, and I keep saying this. Folks, when you see somebody sabotaging your communications, you need to understand that's an act of war. Okay? Now, I'm almost mad at myself because I call it censorship, and that's what it is. But it's an act of war, folks. When they're openly censoring anybody talking about the truth for the origin of this coronavirus, being in Wuhan, being in the lab, and you see Zero Hedge get banned, you see me get banned, you see all these accounts who reported this months ago getting banned, and then it comes out as true, and they say, oh, but now these individuals are saying you have the right to be free. Well, hell yeah, I am. But they're banning that? Folks, that's not just censorship. Censorship is stopping porn from being on your child's computer. This is an act of war. They are sabotaging our communications so we can't rally and take our country back. That's what it's all about. They want you thinking Trump is the worst thing ever and you don't have any freedom. This is an act of war.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm a bit high energy today, I'm not going to lie. But this is the fight for our God-given freedoms and the future of this country. So you know what? I think it's okay for me to be in berserker mode. And it doesn't hurt that I'm now on my third cup of coffee from InfoWarsStore.com, the Wake Up America Patriot Blend. Yes, this is my third cup. It's probably adding to the attitude here today, but guess what? I'm not stopping. I will say this. This is kind of weird, but now that we have the brand new hand sanitizer available at InfoWarsStore.com that we just released, we didn't even know there was going to be a shortage of hand sanitizer when we started developing this. It just came out. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. I'm starting to develop a weird habit now where I keep taking this eucalyptus hand sanitizer and spraying it on my hands and sanitizing. I'm not even like a big germaphobe. I'm really kind of the opposite. Just to kind of prove that germaphobes are nuts, I kind of like, yeah, give me all the germs. I'm going to be fine. But folks, I'm telling you, the scent of this, I love, the eucalyptus is one of my favorite scents. By the way, it's good if you're ever in like a steam room or a sauna. Really, the steam room, the sauna could be dangerous with dry air. But it opens up your nasal passageways. It allows you to breathe easier. That's the eucalyptus. The lavender one, this is just essential oils, what they're known to do. If you want to use hand sanitizer or you wash your hands before you go to bed, use the lavender. Lavender is known, folks, absorbed into the bloodstream to help you sleep better. So, again, it's like crazy. We put out these products, InfoWarsStore.com, multiple uses. But have you ever seen the hand sanitizer that's a spray? You know, you put the glob on your hand, it's gross. And then you're like, oh, my gosh, this is too much. And then you make a mess of it. And you're just like, ugh. This is a spray bottle. Best hand sanitizer that you can find. It's available at InfoWarsStore.com. Three different types. Now, Gretchen Smith with me. Code of Vets, which is, Code of Vets has been around for what, like a year now, Gretchen? I mean, the outreach, the things that Code of Vets has done in a year is just, it's really a miracle. So we salute you and Code of Vets for all that you guys have done. But you're kind of going into like, not, you're a veteran in your own respects, but you're kind of like, you know, pulling yourself out of veteran mode. And it's like, you realize, wait a second, the fight now is here domestically. The fight here is in the front lines.
Right. We normally just deal with veterans issues, but I've had to jump into the fray with what's going on in our country because I'm looking at an onslaught of veterans coming to us every day looking for food, shelter, and to be able to pay their basic utility bills. And what I'm seeing is that if we don't start standing up and speaking out against this, about this entire shutdown of our nation, We're going to literally stand by and watch this crumble. Our entire economy cannot sustain this. This is not a sustainable thing that we're doing. It's historic. It's wrong. And we have to use our voice. I am so beside myself. The veterans are too. We are watching our freedoms being stomped on one after the other, including our freedom of religion and right to peacefully assemble on Sundays. What is that about? So not only am I trying to protect veterans who are vulnerable, fragile, and hungry, no jobs, thanks to the economy being shut down for a virus, but now we're looking at, we can't go to church. We can't go have our hearts and souls and spirits filled. This is absolutely insane, Owen.
Well, and I would imagine, because most of the time, this is just before the coronavirus. When I would talk to some of the most hardened veterans or the most, you know, involved veterans, they'd always say the same thing. Like, man, you know, I went overseas, I fought for everything, and I come back here and I see all the rights being just trampled upon, and then people aren't even fighting here. In some ways, it's demoralizing. In other ways, it gets them fired up to like, I'm back in service here now. I mean, but I would imagine you're hearing a lot from veterans that are kind of saying the same thing. Like, hold on, man. I fought in wars. My grandpa fought in wars. You know, D-Day, the history of the military and all this stuff. And it's just like, now we just have no rights because of a virus? This is not right.
Yeah, that's right. And a big thing going on in our veteran community is when they get a hold of me, you know what they say, Owen? Why am I not essential? Why is my paycheck not essential? Why is my job not essential? I don't have an answer for that. The government is picking winners and losers. We are getting a true taste of socialism because we are a capitalist country. And right now we're in full-blown socialism. They are picking the winners and losers. Who is going to be staying at home, cowering, you know, in our closet, so to speak, and those who get to keep their job. Every paycheck is essential. Every American is essential. Every family. And these veterans are like, hey, I put on the uniform. I've worn those boots. I've served overseas. I've put my time in. And now they're going to tell me I'm not essential and I'm not allowed to go to pay my bills. We have to stand up and fight against this. This is tyranny. And we're not going to stand for it. This is only going to get worse. You're going to see more and more Americans, more and more veterans stepping up and saying, we're done. We are ready to fight back.
And I think, too, you know, these rallies are going to be great, and I think the numbers are going to increase. And a lot of it, I think, right now is going to be mostly family-friendly, you know, camaraderie, coming out, you know, executing our rights, saying you can't shut us down. But if they don't lift these bans, which are illegal anyway, but if they don't stop threatening Americans with fines and with cease and desist orders and with jail time, I have a feeling that this is going to get hot. And I'm not encouraging violence in any way. This is just the reality of the situation. You call someone non-essential long enough, the only thing they're going to have to fall back on is violence. I don't want to see that. You starve someone out long enough without a paycheck, without an income, without the ability to get food. What do you think they're going to do? They're going to try to take it by force. I don't want to see any of this. And I'm beginning to wonder if the people promoting this continued shutdown, if that's what they want to see.
That's what's scary, Owen. That's literally what is in my heart. You're speaking what a lot of us are thinking. Are some of these local mayors, some of these state governors, are they looking for that? Are they looking for a fight? Because they are pushing us over the edge. There is only so much the American people are going to put up with, and especially the veterans who have PTSD and TBI. They are being triggered like you would not believe. I've had phone calls that are, you know, I'm like, we need to step back and calm down. We don't want bloodshed on our own soil. That's the last thing that we want. But we are also not going to allow them to remove our freedoms permanently. We're putting up with this temporarily, but they are crossing the line, and we are getting close to a point of no return. And they need to know that this is not a threat. This is something I don't want to see either, as much as you don't. We don't want to see that blood on our soil. But I tell you what, if they keep pushing us in that direction, there's not going to be a choice. We have Americans and veterans who are literally hungry. It's not going to take too much more time for us to see some violence over this, Owen.
Well, and I think too, people always want to say, "Oh, don't be a conspiracy theorist or whatever." Folks, look at everything they've done to try to make Trump look bad. You don't think for one second these dirtbag Democrats that are they sit here and they act like they want to protect lives. They abort millions of children a year. They fund it through your tax dollars. They don't give a damn about protecting lives. The fact that you had the Michigan governor blocking hydroxychloroquine from going to her citizens, and then the representative from Michigan thanked President Trump, the governor would have had her die. The governor would have had her die. This is a full-on commitment these people have right now to destroying America. And so here's what I'm afraid of, Gretchen, and I don't think it's illegitimate. Once Americans have been put into a position of no return and they realize it's either fight for America or fight just to hope I can get a piece of bread and a bread line, what do you think they're going to choose, folks? This is not going to be good. We don't want to see this. And in a way... You kind of look at it and you're like, well, these people have been trampling our rights for a while. This is kind of inevitable. Hey, you know, that may be the truth. That doesn't mean I want to see it. You know, that doesn't mean I want to see bloodshed in this country. That doesn't mean I want to see that type of a civil war. But I mean, I also don't want to see America die. I also don't want to see my freedoms die. So you leave me with that choice. What do you think we're going to choose?
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, this weekend this week with Michigan and Virginia and Ohio and North Carolina and Texas, this is kind of the week that will spark off rallies across America. Which they're now banning you. Well, they claim they banned me on Twitter for spreading information that goes against Texas stay-at-home quarantine order. Kiss my ass, Media Matters. You know, look, you people are just pathetic over there. So, but you know that's a lie anyway, because these protests are happening nationwide. Are they going to ban every account that's at a protest this weekend? Are they going to ban every account that's at a rally this weekend? Are they going to ban every account that's live streaming out in public? Are they going to ban the CBS broadcaster who was in the middle of Operation Gridlock around thousands of people? Of course not. So it's just more lies about their censorship, which is an act of war, a communication sabotage. But Gretchen, what do you think is about to happen in America the rest of this month? Because I feel America rising. Now, my spidey senses, if you will, are still kind of unsettled as far as what this means or how it's going to go. In a perfect world, we have peaceful rallies across America for the next 2 weeks, and then people just decide, you know what? I'm not getting sick. I've attended 10 rallies. I brought my kids. None of us are getting sick. You know what? I'm opening my business. And if that guy wants to come over here and write me a citation or fine me, I'll fold up that citation and tell him to shove it up his candy ass. But I feel a little unsettled that this could go wrong. I mean, we could have peaceful protests. Somebody could show up and try to start violence. I'm kind of unsettled. It's good America's rising. It's good people are getting informed. It's good people are standing up for their rights. However, this is such a powder keg right now. I'm worried that it could get too explosive, and then that could be used to enact more totalitarian measures.
I agree. Right now, everything's evolving so quickly, and it's going to be interesting to see if these peaceful gatherings remain that way. And you know what? I can't blame Americans if it does get violent or if they step over that line, because you know what? They've pushed us to this point. I don't know what else they expect. When you force Americans to stay in their homes and not be able to work and earn a paycheck, what do you think is going to happen? We are not going to sit down and take it. I've started putting out posts on my social media sites. I live in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Small businesses, restaurants, if you choose to open, I, as an American citizen, a veteran, and as a rational, sane adult, want to make a decision for myself. I will come dine in your restaurant. If you have the balls to open up against our governor, I will come and I will sit down and dine with you, because that's my choice as an American. I don't want anybody telling me when I can eat out or when I can go to church or when I can go to the dentist. That is not the American way. That goes against the Constitution. So I'm all in. I'm willing to sit in jail over my rights. I am not giving them up without a fight, Owen. And I have a feeling there's millions and millions of Americans out there who feel just the same as I do.
And millions! By the way, I've been saying this for a while because I completely wholeheartedly agree with you. And I think whoever uses this as their first ad campaign, like, for example, the first gym that opens up and has a smart marketing campaign that says, hey, is your gym still closed? Come join our gym. Memberships will literally skyrocket, and you'll actually be forced to build another gym. You'll literally be so successful, you will double your capital just with a smart marketing and reopening plan. For example, Nebraska Outdoor Outlet Mall plans to reopen before state's coronavirus cases peak. This is the Nebraska Crossings Outlets in Gretna, Nebraska. I guarantee you this outlet mall is going to be fully crowded day one. I mean, like, lines out the door, people getting new watches and shoes and shirts and coffee and having them. It's going to be booming. And so that's another way that I think we can kind of beat this too, just organically grassroots, is people just saying, you know what, I'm reopening my business. If you're a restaurant, Gretchen is not alone, folks. Same here. If you're I don't even like going out. I don't even drink anymore. If a bar down the street from me says, hey, we're opening up, we're serving drinks, I'm going to go down there and have a cocktail, and I'm going to invite my friends, and I'm going to say, thank you for reopening. Thank you for defying this tyranny. God bless you. And here's some patronage. And then the other bar owner sees this guy down the street making all the money, getting all the commerce. He says, well, what am I doing here? I'm sitting on my hands. I'm going to reopen up. So this is, I mean, it's going to take some strategic, you know, planning and marketing here, but this is a golden opportunity for small businesses to use this to increase people knowing about their business, increase people coming to their business, increase their commerce, increase their profit. I'm telling you, first gym, first bar, first mall, first everything that says we're open, come on down, lines out the door.
I'm in. I'll be the first one. I'm telling you, Murfreesboro, Tennessee, the first business that opens up, I'm in. I'm your first customer. I'm ready to fight along with each and every American across every state. We need to start doing this. We need to start opening our businesses. We need, as patrons, need to say, I'll go. I will stand with you. I will fight against this with you. This is about we the people. This isn't about the government. The government is for us and by us, and they have taken it and they have gone way too far with this lockdown. We have the numbers, Owen. We have the power. All we have to do is be willing to use it and to step up and to just say, hey, I've had enough. Our power is in our numbers. And that's what we, the people, need to realize. We can do this together. We can take back our country.
By the way, I think the other importance of this, too, is people, look, people don't trust the media. People don't trust Fauci. They don't trust these people. They're the only ones really putting information out about this virus. And so, I'm sorry, guys. Someone just came in my ear. What? That was weird. Sorry, I had some weird interference in my ear. I guess Bigfoot or something is breaking into the transmission here. Anyway, what I was saying is all we have is the fake news running their graphics and the Democrats hyping all of this up and the Bill Gates and the Faucis pushing their vaccines. So we really only are getting information on one side. So the only way to even really test this to me, Gretchen, is to actually go out and be in a crowd of people. If people reopen bars and restaurants and let's say, God forbid, somebody has a baseball game and people go to the park and watch their kids play ball or the minor leaguers play ball or the big boys play ball, and then everybody goes home and then nobody gets sick, well, then all of a sudden this worst contagion, deadliest virus ever narrative dies out and there's nothing they can do about it. That's just real human intelligence, boots on the ground. No fake news can defeat that. So that, to me, is the other reason why they really are forcing the shutdown, because they know that's how they can continue the narrative and control over this virus by us, we the people, not even testing if it's really that infectious.
They're using fear as a weapon, and it's disgusting. And veterans and Americans are falling for it. But I'm telling you, more and more of us are waking up. Initially, I wasn't sure. I thought, well, maybe we should stay at home. But as we progress, then we find that these models are not what they say they are. 2 million people are not dead. What do we have? I don't even trust the numbers that are dead now, because they're inflating those numbers as we speak.
Which they admitted.
Yeah, absolutely. This model has changed multiple times. So this virus is not deadly like they are claiming it is. Does it claim lives? Absolutely. If there are underlying conditions, yes, there are going to be people that die, just like people with the flu die. It is sad. I do not like the fact that we're losing Americans, but guess what? There are Americans dying every day from other viruses, from other diseases, from car accidents, from alcoholism, you name it. We don't shut our nation down for any of it, because that's how you destroy the nation. So we have to step up and say, you know what? We're not going to listen to this false narrative. I turned my TV off. I do not follow the numbers anymore because I don't trust them. You know what I trust? I trust us. I trust citizen journalists, and I trust listening to my gut. My sense of discernment is telling me this is wrong, Gretchen. They're leading our nation down a path of destruction, and it's time to stand up and speak out and to take action.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got one more segment with Gretchen Smith coming up. If you're lucky enough to get on the line, that number is 877-789-2539, 877-789-2539, specifically, what is happening in your state? Are rallies coming up this weekend, the next weekend? What are you hearing? Are people sick and tired of this? Are they ready to get back to work, ready to get back to their normal routine, ready to get back to the nightlife, the brunch life, whatever it is they're involved in, just being Americans again? One more segment with Gretchen Smith and Savannah Hernandez coming up. Your phone calls as well. This is the InfoWars War Room is raw.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not doing myself a service here. I'm doing myself a disservice. You obviously know I was banned on Twitter yesterday, but I should have been doing this already. We're still on Gab. The War Room page is still on Gab. In fact, I have a page on Gab. I just haven't been there. I'll reactivate it. And then we've got a great social media team here that also puts up our videos on TikTok as well. I'm not a fan of TikTok. I personally probably ban that Chinese propaganda in the U.S., but hey, it's there. It's a communication tool, so we use it. And so Owen Schroyer also has a TikTok account. Now, it's funny because I was reading about this TikTok account. I didn't even know it existed. People are like, Owen Schroyer's doing this on TikTok. I'm like, I've never been on TikTok. But that's how good our social media team is they're just putting out as much of this broadcast as they can wherever we're allowed. So if you do want to follow us on Gab or TikTok, we are there. The War Room on Gab, Owen Schroyer on TikTok. Yes, there it is right there. I didn't even know this, folks. I should have been plugging it. But I mean, I'm so focused in on what the hell's going on in this country. I can barely even figure out what the hell's going on in my own backyard. All right. Gretchen Smith is with us for one more segment. Gretchen, before we go to phone calls, just Where do you think it goes from here? Just gut instinct. Gut instinct. Because we're seeing the momentum being shifted. We're seeing the narrative shifting right now, too. But you know it's not going to be easy. There's going to be obstacles. So how do you see this going for the rest of April with all the rallies coming and now the reopening phases being introduced? How do you see this going?
I believe we're going to prevail. I do believe the president's going to hear these rallies. He's going to take them to heart because he loves we the people. He loves the veteran community. And I do believe he's going to listen to us and get this country back up and rolling as soon as possible. I have hope. We have to have hope. And I do believe in our country. I believe in the United States of America. I believe in the American people. I do not believe in our government, but I believe in us. And we're going to prevail, and we will get back to work very soon. I think within a matter of days, because we're just getting to the point where we cannot maintain staying at home financially anymore. And the government is quickly finding out they can't push out enough money for all of us. There's not enough money out there. They can't print it fast enough, and they can't get it to us. The systems are not in place to cover as many millions of Americans who are out of work. Owen, we're going to get through this.
Yeah, and, you know, by the way, too, I've a lot of people have been having trouble with their bank activity lately. One of my banks, I still can't even access. And so I don't know what the hell's going on with that. And you know, I will also say this, too. I'm so blessed, and I really do thank God every morning that I still have the ability to have a job here at InfoWars. I thank God every day for this audience, for supporting us. And just like this audience has been a blessing for myself and everybody here at InfoWars, you know, Gretchen Smith has been a great blessing for veterans out there and all the work she's done with Code of Vets. So don't forget about Code of Vets, ladies and gentlemen. If you're looking for a way to support veterans, specifically veterans in need during this hard time, Code of Vets is about as solid as it gets. It's about as solid as it gets. Gretchen Smith doesn't take a dime of your money. All she does is find a veteran in need and get them what they need, whether it's toilet paper, whether it's food, whether it's literally a shoulder to cry on. Gretchen Smith has been there. So just amazing work at Code of Vets. Don't forget about them. All right, let's squeeze in a caller here with myself and Gretchen Smith on the War Room. Let's go to Sergeant in California. Wants to talk about rallies in his area. Go ahead, Sergeant.
Hoorah, Owen. It's good to talk to you again, Gretchen. Very good. Very good work that you do. I'm very glad that, you know, fellow veterans are standing up for our rights. I live in the neighborhood of one of the rallies that will be taking place on May 1st. Interestingly enough, the Huntington Beach police have actually come out on the Facebook page saying that we will be monitoring these protests. You can come out, but exercise your social distancing. And the comments were a little funny on this one because people were saying, well, what law do you have on the books that say you can enforce the social distancing and the masks? And the Huntington Beach Police Department said, well, there are no laws on the books. Basically, we have no ability to enforce these distancing laws. There is nothing on the books about that. So I think Huntington Beach is going to be probably one of the epicenters in California that's going to be really meaningful, as the police force there doesn't seem to be bought out.
And let's actually be clear on how to have a victory in this. It's kind of like, you know, folks taking commands from a war general here. I'm not trying to LARP, but seriously, folks, this is how you win. You have to be recording these things. And if the police are going to come up to you and say this, you have to cite your First Amendment right. And then I would ask them, hey, are you doing anything about the homeless downtown? Because I was just downtown and I saw hundreds of homeless people not social distancing, not wearing masks, peeing in the streets. Are you going to do anything about that? And of course, you know, they'll have a deaf and dumb look on them. And so, but make that moment happen. Capture that moment on video and then share it with the world. That's how we can assure victory here. Because otherwise, they'll just come in and arrest you and no one will ever see it. And the media will never report it. So we have to be the media in reporting this. You're not going to see this on mainstream news, folks. You're not going to see it on cable news. Your local news probably won't even cover it. If they do, they'll say Nazi rally at the Capitol, because that's what they always do. So we have to be the media, and we have to have this victory here. Gretchen?
I'll share it. Hey, yeah, you get the videos out there, and I'll put it on our Code of Vets platform. We're growing quickly. And I will use it for truth, for justice, for the American people. That's what we're here for, not only for veterans, but we're here to stand up for our nation. We took that oath, and I tell you what, Sarge, it's in place for a lifetime. and get it. You have to record it, get it on tape, and make sure that everybody can see what you guys are out there doing. You're exercising your right to peacefully assemble. There are no laws out there about wearing masks and about social distancing. This is tyranny. That what we're facing is tyranny, and it's time for us to step up and say no. We're reasonable. We're rational adults. We will take care of our hygiene. We will protect our fragile Americans who are vulnerable for this disease. But we are not going to cower and live in fear. We're going to use our rights and our freedoms as we see fit, not as the government sees fit, but as we see fit. And we have to push back, but do it with common sense and respect.
Sergeant, thank you for that battle cry and phone call. Let's go to Chris in Gretchen's neighboring state of Kentucky, where they have protests coming up. Go ahead, Chris.
Yeah, and this is great. The news media has been disrupted during the governor's speech. I love it. They need to do more of that.
Wait, what are you talking about exactly?
Yeah, well, what they did a couple of yesterday, they disrupted the governor. They were yelling over the media when he's doing his live coverage. And I was like, yeah, that's what we need to do. We need to get after these corporate medias that are run by China. They're all under that. And I'm just like with you, Gretchen, these veterans and everybody out here, we all need, all you truck drivers out here coming through Kentucky, get to the Frankfort Capitol. Let's go.
Hey, what is the time and date for that?
They're already just starting there. They're just walking in there.
Oh, okay. So it's just happening now. So there's not really been any real organization. It's just going on?
Yeah, and they just covered it yesterday because they disrupted the media and the governor, they had the state police were pushing people back. You got your right to say this, but don't disrupt with the dictator. He's a dictator in there. Don't listen to the Fuhrer is what I'm saying, because that's what they're doing. And we need to do that. I wish I had a bullhorn. I'd be up there right now bullhorning.
See, but that's my point is this is going on right now. Folks, I monitor news. I mean, it's my job. So it's like, I monitor news like it's my job. I've never even heard of any of this. I mean, I got news coming to my phone. I've monitored the news on the monitor. I got a whole crew that monitors news behind me. And it's like, I'm telling you, they're not going to cover any of it, folks. You could have 50 rallies around America on Saturday with millions of Americans, and the media won't even cover it. They won't even mention it, Gretchen.
Get your cameras out. We the people. If you're listening, if you're out there and you see something, you see a peaceful protest by we the people, get out there and get it out on social media. We have a right to see it. It's motivating. It lets other Americans know, hey, it's time. It's time for us to push back. And the more numbers, the bigger numbers we have, the more effective we're going to be. Owen, we have to do this. It's time to take a stand to let these governors and mayors know you do not run us. You do not own us. You do not tell us what to do. We the people have rights that we're not going to allow them to be trampled anymore.
And by the way, you know, we don't show up to these things with our rifles and our pistols and everything to act tough or as a threat. That's just a symbolic gesture of this is what you're getting. Like, you're coming through me, bud. So it's like that's a visible representation of what they have to go through. So we don't carry rifles around or our pistols on our hip to be tough or as a threat. That's to say you're coming through me. You're coming through and armed me. And so that's what that's all about. Gretchen Smith, Code of Vets, 60 seconds left. Give us a farewell, how people can support you. And if they do want to share videos with you from this weekend or protest, how they can do that.
Just come to the @CodeOfVets Twitter site. That's where I'm at 24/7 right now. That's where our veterans in crisis are. And DM me your videos. I will put them out. I will share that we the people are done. We're fired up and we're taking our country back. So get those videos to me because I'd be more than happy to share. Also, if you do have a job and you can donate $5, that entire $5 will go to veterans in crisis. Go to the CodeOfVets.com website. Please donate and share us on social media. We are doing great things for our veterans. We are feeding them and keeping them with food, with shelter, with water and electricity during this time.
Gretchen Smith, Code of Vets, thank you so much for joining us today. And we always appreciate your great work with Code of Vets and your fire here on The War Room. All right, ladies and gentlemen, more phone calls coming up. I do have some news and a rant that I'm going to do on the next segment, so don't go anywhere.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is The War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Watch the live stream at band.video.
Is it time for a rant? I don't know. I kind of always rant. Here's what it is, though. I mean, When I get my census that I have right here, and I see this, it says, your response is required by law. Really? And then they send you a bunch of these documents, and they say, it's required by law. You have to do this, blah, blah, blah. Maybe, hey, guys, just maybe not do this because someone could steal my census information with the code here. I don't know if that went on camera or not. Let's double check post. Not that I'm that worried about it because I may boycott this anyway, and I did block out private information here. But anyway, they say, this is required by law for you to fill out the census. Required by law. Punishable by law. And it says, the 2020 census will be used to direct billions of dollars in federal funds to local communities for schools, roads, and other public services. Help your community prepare to meet transportation and emergency readiness needs. Determine the number of seats each state has in the U.S. House of Representatives and your political representation at all levels of government. So let me explain this, folks. Now, in case you don't know, and again, I look at President Trump and I say, F, the fact that you allowed them to do a U.S. census without a citizenship question on it is an F for your administration, a big fat F, a loss. So you can say we're winning, we're tired of winning. No, that's a loss. Because I'm punishable by law if I don't file my census, but an illegal immigrant, an illegal alien, someone that breaks the law and comes here and then gets government benefits, they're allowed to break the law with no repercussions and get benefits? That is criminal. But let's really break it down. What does this mean? Direct billions of dollars in federal funds to local communities. Well, what are the local communities now? Not Americans. Anybody. Illegal immigrants. They're literally telling you the census is being done so that illegal immigrants can receive benefits. And by the way, in most states like California, illegal immigrants have received more stimulus cash than an American citizen. That's criminal, folks. That's treason. I won't go far here, but that's the kind of thing you drag someone out on the street by the scruff of their neck. And, I've seen it before, folks. It's not pretty. You ever heard a head smacking against concrete? Have you ever heard that before? It sends shockwaves through your body, okay? I mean, it's, you see a head bounce off the pavement and blood goes squirting out. Anyway. So they're telling you, hey, you, the U.S. citizen, you're going to be punished by the law if you don't fill out the census. But you, the citizen from any other country around the world, you can come here illegally and get benefits here just as long as you fill out this fake census. And then what does it say? Determine the number of seats each state has in the U.S. House of Representatives and your political representation at all levels of government. Folks, this is the key. This is the big bombshell. This is the one where you grab these treasonous traitors by the scruff of their neck. And if you want to know what it's like and how it feels and what it sounds like to have a head bang against pavement, now's the time. Not encouraging violence. I'm hypothetically, politically speaking here. Folks, so think about this. Let's say you're in California and let's say they have 10 million illegal immigrants. Okay, well, those 10 million illegal immigrants are now part of the census. And now in California, guess what? They just increased their number of electoral votes in California with non-citizens. Oh, and now they get to vote, and now there's so much leverage with the California vote in the Electoral College from illegal immigration, they now control the destiny of the entire United States of America. Do you see how that works? This is, folks, this is another act of war. Just like all the electronic censorship is an act of war, this census is an act of war. And President Trump is allowing it to happen. That is a dereliction of duty. This is a message of love to the President of the United States. President Donald J. Trump, the 2020 census is illegal. The fact the Democrats are using this to rig votes and steal our money is criminal, and you cannot allow this to happen, but you have, and that's a loss. InfoWars War Room is raw, interdimensional, multi-universal. Final hour, Savannah Hernandez in studio, your calls coming up. Let me paint a picture for you guys here. Let me tell you a little story. Savannah Hernandez pretty much got thrown into the InfoWars arena not really knowing what she was getting into. And I think it's been an adventure for her. She can talk about it, but she's now starting to get a real taste of what it's like to be hunted by Nazis. And she's had her first mention in the Nazi press, Media Matters, and Right Wing Watch. And I think it left a bit of a sour taste in your mouth. You've witnessed a lot in your almost 2 years here at InfoWars, but now you're starting to get some of the blowback here, some of the shrapnel. So what are you seeing now after I get censored and now people are coming after you? I know you were fired up about this, but, you know, it's getting a little more real to you, isn't it?
Definitely. And yeah, I am a bit blackpilled today because I finally got my first mention in a Media Matters story. Our lovely very own Jared Holt decided to mention...
Whoa, whoa, he's Right Wing Watch.
Oh, apologies. Sorry, they're all the same to me because they're all awful. Anyway, doesn't matter who the hell we're talking about. The point is that we have grown men whose jobs are literally to follow our every move and tattletale on us. And the one story that I was mentioned in that made me really upset was, he basically like put us on a list of people who are still affiliated with InfoWars but haven't been banned yet.
Hey, look, isn't like Jared, I like you, buddy. Don't you realize that that's what the Nazis did to Jews?
Yeah, you know, it's just very upsetting. I don't even want to talk about it on air because I am really, really upset by
it. It's like I'm a Nazi SS officer. It's like, what did I do? Hi, Hitler. I was just in Paris, France, or I was just in Poland, and here's a list of all the Jews I found, and here's their address. And Hitler says, very good, very good. I mean, Jared, you're literally behaving like a Nazi, dude. I get it, man. You need a job or whatever. Maybe you believe this stuff politically, but you need to realize what side of history you're on here, buddy.
And the worst part of all of this, too, is I posted that video of us yesterday at the protest. I kind of just did a pan. I did a compilation of all of the people who were in attendance.
How dare you?
All of the people who were chanting. And pretty much all of the comments and a lot of the retweets were about how they were all crackers, how they were all white, like, oh, the whites are at it again. Look at these dumbass white people. Sorry, I don't know if I can say that.
By the way, the organizer was a black lady.
But the point is, the point of all of this is that you're allowed to say racist things on Twitter. Defend Terrence Williams is trending right now because people are literally calling for him to be killed, calling him the N-word because he's a black Trump supporter. So you can go on Twitter and threaten people's lives and you can call them the most racist name in the book. But if you're trying to tell people to defend their constitutional rights or you're trying to talk to people about the communist Chinese regime who has committed so many like crimes on humanity, you're going to get banned and that's who's being attacked. Are you kidding me? Are you serious, Jared Holt? Who?
You know what? Hey, guys, Terrence Williams is really busy and he's like touring the nation 24/7, but he's actually from Austin. We should reach out and see if we can't get Terrence Williams in studio one of these days. He may be the president's favorite comedian, I know he's from Austin. I don't know if he still lives here, but I know he's traveling like 24/7 now, but he'd be a great guest to get in studio. I've been in touch with him in the past, but he's always so busy. Anyway, I think what's sad about this is these are fellow Americans and the value of free speech is just lost upon them somehow. And the fact that they can't see that, but it's beyond a doubt now. I've been saying this for years. It used to be that the liberal left was the side of free speech in America. That is far gone. It is now the conservative right that stands for free speech and the liberal progressive left that is Hitlerian in their censorship tactics.
Definitely. And it's a very sad state when we're here in America. And I put out this tweet yesterday basically saying like, welcome to China, where the government tells you when you can leave your house. The government tells you that what you can wear, that you're forced to wear a face mask, when you can go shopping, what you can say online. Oh, wait, that's actually America, because that is America right now. You can't even have a dissenting opinion online. And it's disgusting that we've gotten to a place in society where we're supposed to be the most free country in the world. And you can't even talk about something online without it being pre-approved. And, you know, Facebook now too is saying, oh, well, we're going to flag things that are coronavirus misinformation. Well, technically, all of the stuff that the media has been reporting on about how this didn't originate in China or how it was racist with that. All of that's disinformation, but nobody's silencing them. It's so ridiculous and it's just infuriating to me. And now I finally understand everyone's frustration with, I guess, all of these hall monitors who are really trying to infringe on our constitutional rights. And I have learned the value of free speech as well. And it's not even each individual's free speech, but it's us as a collective being able to access the information that we want to and to be able to understand like different points of view. That's very important. So the fact that that is being censored and being taken away and we're being manipulated and brainwashed through what we're allowed to access is so sad.
And you know, the other thing about this too is, and I don't think they understand or care. Okay, get Jared Holt off the screen. All right, just pull that down.
Look, I will riot. Take that down.
I consider Jared Holt a friend. We have our differences.
Why? Why?
I want to get along with everybody.
He's a bitch. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Why would you want to befriend somebody like that?
I think he's just misunderstood and he's just ill informed. I think he'll have a great awakening. But here's my point is. See, it's one thing to say, oh, I don't want this on the internet. I don't want this on Twitter. Oh, my gosh. But you have to understand that you're going after people's livelihoods here.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not going to complain. I've been very blessed to still be working here at InfoWars and to be working at the job that I want. But you have to understand, like, let's say that, you know, maybe InfoWars has to close down or the worst happens here or whatever. Well, then what do I have to fall back on? I built up a massive audience on my Twitter. That is very important for somebody in media to basically have as a resume. Well, you just ripped that from my hands. So now I have nothing on my resume. So you just affected my livelihood potentially. But they don't think about that. It's like, oh, let's go after Alex. Let's kill Alex Jones on the internet. Well, you realize Alex Jones employs 100 people, many of which have families and children that they have to feed. Oh, no, you don't think about that. You don't even care about that.
Right. And that's what I was thinking about today, too, just in my own personal journey working here and starting my Twitter account. When I first started off here, I had like 200 followers on my Twitter. I never used it. And now I have several thousand, which has been great. But just like you said, you know, that's your own personal resume that you build up. Those are your own thoughts, your own opinions. You know, you became a thought leader on Twitter and you put out so much great content that people followed and people had the option to follow you or not to follow you. And that should be something that everyone's allowed to do. So the fact that has been taken away from you now is so sad. And I was telling you yesterday too, I was like, you know, Twitter's just a black hole now. I can feel the void of your presence, of Harrison's presence, of Rob Dew's presence. Every single time I would post a tweet, Harrison's little avatar would pop up in my likes. And I was like, Harrison, hey, how you doing? And it was great. And it, you know, it's a sense of community. And now that's been ripped away. You guys have been banned from it. For what? Who knows?
Yeah, you know, it's like, I know you're not a big sports fan, but it's like if you're a big sports fan and say, I remember like growing up in St. Louis in the 1998 season, it's like Mark McGwire was the big ticket. You know, watching Mark McGwire hit 500-foot home runs, that was like the big ticket. That was the awesome thing to watch. And so let's say you go to the ball game on a Sunday afternoon and Mark McGwire's on the bench. It's the same thing. It's like, oh, man, the air's kind of taken out of the stadium. The energy's a little depleted. Like if you went to a Bulls basketball game in the 90s, it's like, I'm going to see Air Jordan. And then it's scratched as Air Jordan. You're like, oh, man, like that takes the energy. That's basically what they're doing on Twitter. They're limiting the fun. They're limiting the access that you have to the best people. I mean, I'm not even talking about myself. It's just in general. So it's like, oh, don't worry, though. They'll get Paul Joseph. I'll get that dog, your little dog, too, my precious. So next, they got their list. They're going to list. Now they're looking at Paul Joseph Watson. Oh, he's a thought criminal. Oh, my gosh. But you know what? I'm glad I went out with my middle finger up, and I'm glad that my last tweet was calling out the lies of the Chinese communist and defending President Trump. So in a way, I want to thank you guys for sending me out unwittingly, in perfect fashion for me, quite frankly. Middle finger extended, calling out the lies of the communist and defending President Trump. So in a way, it kind of tastes good. In a way, it really tastes good. And so to know that the very essence of tyranny and evil that I've been fighting my entire life, unconsciously and now consciously, is coming after me to silence me, that's like a mark of victory, a mark of good. That's a milestone. Yes.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We'll be right back.
All right. Savannah Hernandez in studio cannot stop smelling. Not like a Creepy Joe sniffing, but she's enjoying the scent of the lavender hand sanitizer.
No, I'm Creepy Joe sniffing it for sure.
Oh.
It's because I'm very just hyper right now, but this lavender scent.
Is it calming you down?
This new hand sanitizer is just calming me down so much.
Do you have the same problem that I have with hand sanitizer where if it's like I can't get the right amount because it just comes out like a big glob and then it's like a mess and I spill it on my pants and everywhere and I have to like rub my hands 5,000 times just to get it to absorb and then they end up dry?
That's why I don't even like using hand sanitizer and I feel like also it'll be very sticky and it just feels gross after you use it.
Have you used that yet? Have you actually sprayed the new Emmerich Essentials on your hand?
I haven't. Let's try it out.
Let's get a live test here.
All right. I saw you use 2 squirts last time. All right, guys. I like the texture. I like the feel. Nice and fresh. Good scent. It's calming me down. It's really calming me down, actually.
Now, that is the lavender.
It's like being at a spa, to be honest.
That's actually... Oh my gosh.
Nice. It's really nice.
That smells better than the eucalyptus.
I kind of just want to like rub it on my face and sanitize everything. Okay. I'm calm.
Wow. That was quick work. The lavender will calm you down. It will sanitize your hands. That's pretty good stuff right there. So you approve of the lavender hand sanitizer.
I would like to add too that I'm a big moisture person. Every single time I wash my hands, I have to put lotion on. And this is also kind of moisturizing too.
Yeah, it doesn't dry out your hands.
It doesn't.
But I think that's because of the spray. It doesn't put so much on your hands that
they
have to absorb.
It's like the perfect amount. It's the perfect amount. I really like it.
So total innovation here at the InfoWars store with the new hand sanitizer. Not only does it come with a great scent that doesn't smell like a chemical alcohol, smells like lavender, peppermint, eucalyptus. It also, and this is the real innovative thing. Again, folks, I imagine everybody has the same problem, unless you have like a tiny little thing of hand sanitizer, which will give you like 2 uses. The spray bottle evenly distributes the hand sanitizer on your hand so that you don't have a big glob that ends up getting on your pants. And then you have to rub your hands for like 5 minutes just to get them any dryness at all. This, you spray twice, boop, full coverage, rub your hands together, and then they're ready to go. Totally dry.
So good. So important. You know, we're always on the go. So this is great.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to stop, rub our hands together. Just a quick spray. We're done. We're go. We're ready to go. Perfect. I love it.
All right. Let's squeeze a phone call in. Let's go to Todd. We do have some open lines, by the way, folks. 877-789-2539. If you want to talk to myself or Savannah Hernandez, let's go to Todd in North Carolina. Go ahead, Todd.
Hey, Owen, I have discovered the tank man of the reopening of America.
Okay.
If you go on YouTube, there's a video. It's titled, We Have a Runner.
The guy on the beach?
The guy on the beach.
Is that not one of the funniest things ever? Okay, the crew will pull this up. It's a guy taking a jog on the beach all alone. And then an officer who's clearly not as in shape as the jogger tries to catch him and I guess arrest him or whatever. And the jogger just puts him in the dust.
No, my favorite part about that video, too, is like the officer starts getting closer and the jogger keeps pace. And then as soon as he's like about to get close, the jogger just takes.
Yeah, he's like, all right,
like,
I'm out of here.
We're done.
Yeah, that is the tank man of the coronavirus. I'm sorry, Todd. What was that? Go ahead.
I was saying we should organize runs in parks and on beaches and play catch me if you can.
Seriously. And then how dumb, because look, I'm a fan of the cops. I like the cops. I've went through my phase of the cops are bad. And, you know, you go through that phase in the middle of life. And I think the biggest one, honestly, is when you're like 18 years old and you want to drink alcohol and the cops want to harass you for it when it's like everybody drinks alcohol. I shouldn't say that, but you get my point. It's like, I'm at college drinking booze. It's like, yeah, okay, 10,000 other people are doing this and you're going to write a select amount of tickets. Here's the video, by the way, the officer trying to chase down the runner on the beach and he just kind of keeps himself paced. He's like, all right, I'm not going to stop running and this officer isn't going to catch me.
Off.
And then the officer gets within about 10 feet and the jogger's just like, all right, turn on the turbo boosters and I'm gone. And of course the officer eventually stops. But it really, you know, that's kind of funny. It's like, cause look, that's embarrassing for a police officer. A, it's embarrassing that they even have to comply with these ridiculous ordinances. But B, that's embarrassing when basically a citizen just kind of gives you the bird and is like, look, you're not going to arrest me for running on a beach. And by the way, you can't catch me if you want to. So I don't know. I don't know how we make that viral, Todd, but it's definitely an interesting notion. I don't know. Would you run away from a cop like that?
I don't know. It depends on the cop. It depends on the cop. If the cop looks like he's in shape, I don't know if I'd be able to outrun him. I don't know if I'd run. But if it looks like I could outrun him, I definitely would.
What if I tried to run from the cops in the Capitol when they were going to arrest me, when they did arrest me? What if I just took off? I'm pretty fast.
That would actually be pretty funny. That would have been a great meme, honestly.
I don't think they would have caught
you
me.
You just going, gone.
I don't think they would have caught me. I think I was too fast. I don't think there's many cops that could catch me. I'm not even kidding you. When I was, I guess we did DARE in like third or fourth grade in my school. And I remember the officer, old Marty Davenport, who was the chief, police chief in my neighborhood. And he was talking to us about drugs and stuff. And of course, you know, me, I raised my hand and I asked, I was like, yeah, how do you run and catch criminals with all that equipment on? And he's just like, I'm trying to tell you how pot's bad. I'm like, yeah, that's all fine and dandy, but I'm just curious how you're able to run with all that equipment on. And he's like, well, do you want to find out? And I was like, yeah, but you probably can't run very fast. He's like, well, do you want to find out? And I was like, okay. He was like, I bet I could beat you. I raced Officer Davenport and I beat him. So I'm one for one, at least that I'm divulging here on air, running from police.
Real proud of you. You've been running away from the police and the government since your youth. Beautiful.
It is true. I will, if I could get Davenport on the line, he would confirm that story. He contested my victory, though. Okay? So, you know, he didn't go quietly. All right, let's squeeze in another call here. Cowboy in Oregon. Go ahead, Cowboy.
Hey, Owen. How's it going?
It's going fine.
All right, I just want to talk about, we're going to have protests here in Oregon and Portland. They're going to be about 300. They're going to show up, and about 1,300 plus that said that they're going to attend it. It's the Reopen Oregon rally. They also named it as a freedom rally. But then I also looked it up. All the news articles are calling us right wingers. I really don't appreciate that. It's a bunch of patriots that are wanting America to be open up.
You know, I'm glad you said that, because I don't like this whole thing. Look, first of all, I don't like being called a right winger. Some things I lean right, some things I lean left. Quite frankly, I just consider myself logical, common sense, straight down the middle, the way I see it. But whatever, they like to put boxes. But, you know, that's a good point. They keep wanting to say this. And you know what? I had this story in front of me because I was literally going to break this down. So I'm so glad you said that. Here it is. Bill Gates at odd with Trump on virus becomes right-wing target. So here's what they've done. This is such an excellent call from Cabo. He probably didn't even realize how actually brilliant this was. This shows you what they've done to so-called conservatives or right-wingers in America. They just assume that the propaganda's worked and any right-winger is considered a racist or a Nazi or a bigot. So they just assume that stuck. So now they just use the term right-winger, and the understanding is supposed to be in the modern nomenclature that, oh, that's a racist, that's a bigot, that's a hater. So they're using right-winger now to just describe anyone they disagree with. And so they're doing that now with these rallies. It's not right-wing. This is pro-America.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Trigger warning.
This broadcast contains subject matter
that might trigger
liberal snowflakes. It's the War Room with Owen Schroyer.
Hey, look, when I get attacked and censored, I just innovate and find new creative ways to get things out there. By the way, the much anticipated, and I mean much anticipated by the millions. You were supposed to say in millions, fine. By the millions of InfoWars audience out there, the much anticipated Clown World PD Episode 3 debuts next segment. By the way, folks, we are still one of the few outlets that still has emergency food available at InfoWarsStore.com. We still have it available. If you haven't got emergency food yet, now is the time. Hey, look, I'm not telling you to panic, but You've seen what can happen over the last course of 2 or 3 months, the shutdown of the economy, the shutdown of the supply chain, the shutdown of necessities at stores. So be prepared for the worst. Have emergency food, which is available at InfoWarsStore.com. Okay, let's take a look at the lines, and let's go to Slavic, calling in from Missouri. Slavic, you are on the InfoWars War Room.
Hey, Owen. Hey, I really appreciate you taking my call. Hey, I just want to first tell you, someone from the former Soviet Union, I think you're a damn patriot, you know, for willing to go to jail and prison in Washington, D.C., because, you know, I view you as the true 1774 Patrick Henry type, you know, individual. We need more of those individuals, you know, in the United States, because I see America becoming what my former homeland, Ukraine, did when the Czech KGB and Lenin, you know, took over my country and killed millions of my own people. So I just want to give you, you know, just thanks for being a true patriot.
And well, and let me just respond to that real quick before you get to your next point. You know, my whole thing is lead by example. And my hope is, you know, when I stand up in defiance of tyranny like that, that Americans will follow. And so obviously, you know, it's a bit of a pipe dream, I guess you could say, for other people to stand up when I confronted Nadler, even though I know there were dozens of people in that room that agreed with me, including members of the House that reached out to me that were there that day. I got cheered when I got arrested at the state capitol, but it's time for Americans to stand up. But, you know, it's funny because Savannah witnessed this yesterday too. Just hold right there for a second, Slavic, but you brought something up. You know, you witnessed this too, where the police, who I fully support the Austin police, I've only seen that like two bad things of the thousands of interactions I've had with them. That's, of course, nobody's perfect. But yesterday they tried to write a woman a citation for honking her horn when everybody was up there, you know, shouting and hooting and hollering. She honked her horn. And they were going to write her citation. They ended up just writing her a warning. But I mean, you kind of saw what happened. I mean, the people out there were kind of surrounding the cops like, you know, like, hey, what the hell is your problem? Why are you writing her a citation? Leave her alone. And then the cops kind of had to form a barrier. So look, I'm not encouraging violence against the cops. Believe me, I fully support the police here. They need to do their job. They got a tough job. They're targets as well. But I don't want to see a situation where cops are behaving like tyrants and fascists. And then they're basically, you know, facing off against citizens where the citizens are like, because I mean, that's what's going to happen. I mean, there's going to come a point in time where, yeah, you're going to arrest Owen Schroyer in the Capitol, and then the hundreds of people there are going to surround you and say, set him free. I mean, that's kind of almost what we witnessed yesterday.
Definitely. And there are a lot of people, like you said, you know, you go through that phase of thinking that the police aren't good. And that is because obviously we have seen that the government is trying to use the police against citizens and trying to use them to enforce these unconstitutional restrictions, forcing people to wear face masks, keep those social distance. So, I mean, I think it is natural for citizens to want to stand up against the police in that sense. And, you know, I wanted to talk about this too, because right now we are seeing so much attacks on the protests going on around America. And people are saying that Trump is responsible for encouraging people to go out and protest. And that could result in millions of people being killed from the coronavirus. And I think that that's ridiculous. And it's so sad to see that our media now is attacking American citizens who want to be able to feed their families, pay their bills. I can guarantee you that a lot of the people who are currently sitting inside of their houses right now that are anti-protest are the ones who have been able to pay their bills, are the ones who haven't seen their families torn apart, not able to pay their bills, not able to pay their rent, because we all know damn well that $1,200 is not that much money. That's your rent for a month. That's it. How else are you going to pay for your family to eat? How else are you going to continue living your life? This shutdown has been so unconstitutional, and it's been so sad to see as well so many Americans give in to what our leaders here in our state and local government has said. You know, you have to wear a face mask. If you don't want to go out to a protest because for some reason or another, I mean, you are scared to be in a big group of people or whatnot, well, don't wear a face mask. I mean, do what you can to protest the government right now by not going out and wearing a face mask. The government can't tell you to wear a specific piece of clothing. You don't have to do that. So don't do it. I mean, take these small steps against the government now, because if we all collectively keep wearing face masks, the government is going to keep pulling that out and making us wear face masks forever. So we need to stand up against like these little things.
By the way, that lady that got arrested, I believe that was North Carolina. She's a hero for standing up and taking that. And you know, that's, yeah, there she is right there. I think that was North Carolina. Is that rally where that happened? And by the way, guys, that comment Savannah just made about, you know, $1,200 a month not being enough, we need to put that, or $1,200 a month, people that are still getting paid, not going out to the protest because they're still getting their normal pay, put that in the highlights because that is such a great point that I haven't heard. But, you know, unless you are like, you know, a single lady or a single guy and you have roommates, $1,200 a month is not going to cut it, folks. It's just not. Okay? And I'm and it's even more ridiculous when illegal immigrants are getting more stimulus cash than American citizens. I mean, that is, it makes my heart break. It makes me in a fit of rage. But let's go back to Slavic, who wants to talk about the rallies coming up in Missouri. Go ahead, Slavic.
Yeah, yeah. I knew you would appreciate that because I'm in your state of Missouri right now. And
what city are you in, by the way?
Springfield.
Ah, is the rally going to be, because actually Springfield, by the way, I forget what county it is. By statistics, that county is the biggest conservative county in the United States of America, by the way. And Jefferson City, the capital, is not far from there. But where is the Missouri rally coming up? You said April 21st.
21st, so it's set at the Jefferson City, Capitol Hills. It's organized by Free Missouri Rally people on Facebook, and it's going to be around noon. They're starting it on the 21st. So if anyone's out here, you know, I encourage all of us to go to the rally.
Oh, I guarantee you that's going to be huge. And it's a nice little area right there on the river, too.
Yeah, it is. Ozarks, you know, you have the mountains. I mean, yeah, you're absolutely right. I mean, we have the most, like, darnest conservative area in Missouri. And, you know, being someone from Ukraine, a former Soviet Union, there's a lot of Russians, Ukrainians here. I'm actually an interpreter here. I've been here for a few years. And I'm also, you know, a strong patriot. So I'm trying to really create my own movement, you know, patriotic movement to really tell people, you know, to save America from the new world order. So, you know, it's like, you know, we do have people here who are care, but a lot of people are, you know, just kind of living their own lives. So I'm trying to wake people up as well.
Yeah. Well, I mean, honestly, Missouri is one of the freest countries in the union right now. It's more free than Texas. Believe me, I've lived in both. Missouri has constitutional carry, meaning they can't restrict you from carrying a firearm. You can carry whatever the hell you want, wherever the hell you want, as long as it's not private. And unless you're in like downtown St. Louis or Kansas City, it's pretty much 100% red. And even those cities are really split, not like you normally see in a downtown area. So it's just amazing, though, when you compare. And hey, that's good. Every state needs to be different. Every state needs to have, you know, its own little, you know, interpretation of laws and everything. And that's perfectly fine. That's what forms a perfect union. And then you can choose where you want to live. I just think it's crazy that here you are, like, we're in Texas, and you'd think, oh, you know, Texas, rootin' tootin', toughest cowboys. And then you look at Austin with Mayor Adler and all the gun restrictions here, and you're just like, this isn't the Texas I thought it was. Savannah?
I agree completely. And, I mean, with the coronavirus as well and the orders that he's tried to put in, again, too, just the required face masks, it's ridiculous. And all of our constitutional rights are being infringed upon, and people need to stand up against it. And like you said, being in Texas and seeing this being implemented here, even the way that Greg Abbott has handled this has not been my favorite thing in the world, and it has been disappointing to see. So I'm glad that people are finally standing up against this because it's what has been needed to be done for weeks now.
And I think what people like Abbott are doing is they're licking their finger and seeing which way the wind blows instead of going with Americana, Constitution, and freedom.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
There's a global pandemic happening. The CDC and WHO say trillions could die. Not on my watch. This is Clown World PD.
Why are you not practicing 6 feet social distancing? We need 6 feet. Unbelievable. Yeah, some folks call me a hero.
I tend to agree.
Have you ladies ever heard of social distancing?
Yes, we're sisters.
6 feet apart. Thank you.
Oh my gosh. These people aren't even wearing masks. Unbelievable.
Sir, you are sentencing yourself to death by not wearing a face mask.
Makes me sick. What would you do without the Clown World PD? You'd probably be dead.
This is Clown World PD. Where you're never free.
Clown World PD.
Let me see your papers.
Wow. Episode 3 of Clown World PD is up at band.video, just debuted right now. That's some serious stuff right there, Savannah. Don't laugh at that.
I'm not laughing. It was powerful.
You don't want...
Thank you for all of the work you do. Where would we be?
Well, that wasn't me. That was Deputy Honko.
Oh, wow.
I mean, let's be clear here. I mean, I'll take credit, but I mean, that was Deputy Honko.
Well, thank him for his work. You know, we have had less than 20 deaths due to coronavirus in Austin, and I think he's the one to thank for that. So,
you know, that's a good point. In fact, we should probably just throw money at Deputy Honko. Just cash.
Like money guns?
Yeah. Yeah. And make sure it's clean, though. You know, we don't need to be spreading any corona. All right. We've still got people on the line. So then, let's go to John in Virginia. You are on the InfoWars War Room is Raw. John, go ahead.
Hey, Owen. Thank you for taking my call, as always.
Thank you for calling.
Yeah, and I think you said Savannah was in the studio as well, and I think I recognized her from the First Amendment Summit. I was the guy in the 76ers hat, powerful event.
Oh, yeah. Oh. Yes, I met you at the rally there. I don't know if you would say you're a former Democrat, but you definitely...
Yeah, I am a former Democrat.
Okay, so former Democrat, now watches InfoWars.
Yeah, but originally I wanted to talk about the mutation, but like of the coronavirus, but I kind of heard that you were talking about how you got banned on Twitter, and I wanted to just talk about like the accountability of the media as well as the double standard, like with all these big tech things, because I remember, I think it was like sometime in 2015, NBC News anchor Brian Williams got suspended, I think, for doing like a report that was misleading.
He was fired because he claimed he was in basically like a fighter chopper taking fire. He made the whole thing up.
Yeah, and then now it's all this thing, like, it's a little bit like, I don't know if disappointing is the right word, but, like, it seems like we're losing, like, free thought, like, not only, like, for big tech, but also, like, on the news media as well, because CNN, I think, like, it was either this week or last week, but they were showing, like, the president's briefing, and then they cut away from it when he had that little infomercial. So I think it should just be, like, if this was like 5 years ago, like I think CNN would have like showed like the whole thing. But now, like because of like their agenda and stuff like that, they don't want you to see it. And the viewer can't choose whether or not like they want to see it or not.
And that's why it was so brilliant for President Trump to do that. And then now you have Elon Musk basically calling out CNN for the fake news. Folks, CNN is beyond fake news. Call it what you want, but it's beyond fake news. And right now they're acting as a Chinese communist propaganda wing. I mean, literally. In fact, the story was right here. Let me see if I can find it in my unorganized stacks. CNN heavily revises article called out for looking suspiciously like Chinese news release. That's at newswars.com. Folks. Oh, by the way, China dramatically raises death toll from Wuhan after skepticism over body count. So it's like, yeah, it originated in China. We saw all the videos and they're like, oh, nobody died here. And so they're admitting that. And then CNN basically takes a Chinese communist press release, copies it and pastes it into a CNN article. And then everyone's like, oh my God, this is literally what President Xi told you to say. And they're like, oh, get in there and edit it. No, we can't have people seeing this. I mean, Savannah, how do you, it's like, hey, it's one thing to be fake news. CNN is beyond fake news. It's an enemy operation.
Honestly, it's pure propaganda at this point. And I think that they've really been working hand in hand with the World Health Organization in manipulating America and the rest of the world about what's really going on. I've made videos. I made two videos, like it's a series of all of the media lies that we've been told since the beginning of this coronavirus, whether it was from the World Health Organization or our own mainstream media, but even going into CNN. And then again, too, Chris Cuomo, you know, this whole coronavirus outbreak was said to be the most awful illness that anyone has ever experienced. You're not able to get out of bed. You can't breathe. You're going to be on a ventilator. Chris Cuomo's on air talking about how he had the worst night of his life. He was shivering so badly. He chipped a tooth. He saw his dead father, but he's somehow able to get on air. Did you not see any of that? Yeah, he saw his dead father and people from high school. He hallucinated all of them.
I see dead people.
Yeah, and then the next day got on air and... and was able to report on it, looked fine. And now he's crying about how his wife has coronavirus. It's just so ridiculous.
Wait, what? I thought he said he couldn't see his wife.
Yeah, he couldn't see his wife, I thought, because she has coronavirus.
I thought it was because he had coronavirus.
I don't know at this point. It's CNN. The story changes so much. It's pure propaganda. And obviously, we've seen that they are incapable of doing factual reporting there. And it's so sad to see. Like I said, I mean, all the media does is manipulate people. And I think that the one good thing that has come out of the coronavirus is that people have shifted and they see how much the media does lie to them. And they also now are awake to China and all of their deception, the World Health Organization, their deception. So, I mean, this has been a good event in the sense that it has woken people up to the reality of the government they're living under, the world that they're living in, these organizations, all of these people who are pushing vaccines on them, and these fake models. People are finally awake, which is nice.
Chris Cuomo, by the way, is like having some sort of weird mental breakdown about his job now, too.
And then he backtracked and said that he never said any of it the next day.
Poor little Cuomo. See, like, Chris Cuomo is like a true believer. Like, that's the kind of guy I feel like I would actually get along with. But he's so crazed in his leftist ideology. But that's fine. We can disagree with these things. We need to have these public discourses. All right, let's take another call here. Kevin, thank you, John. Kevin in Montana, go ahead.
Yeah, hold on.
All right, what should I hold on to? Should I hold on to my microphone, the pen, the cup of coffee?
Hold on to your butt, because we're going to get somewhere.
All right, what's
deal,
up,
brother? Okay, here's the deal. We are going to win. You've been promoted to Colonel Schroyer, and Savannah has been promoted to Major.
Now what do we do? What is our mission orient?
Yes, I want you to listen to this, okay? And tell me if you agree or not. Recognizing that I volunteered as an info warrior, fully knowing the hazards of my chosen profession, I will always endeavor to uphold the prestige, honor, and high esprit de corps of the info warrior, acknowledging the fact that an info warrior is a more elite warrior who arrives at the cutting edge of the battle by land, sea, or air. I accept the fact that as a info warrior, my country expects me to move further, faster, and fight harder than any other warrior.
And by the way, Kevin, when you go to these rallies all across the nation, you're going to find out half of the people attending are InfoWars followers. And so that just shows you how this audience is literally the front lines. I mean, it's undeniable. I remember they were just showing there was a rally or a protest. I forget where it was. I was monitoring it on my monitor here. And there were two Space Force T-shirts. You can only get them at InfoWarsStore.com. And they were both just standing out there at the rally. And it's like, this is the same thing everywhere. And so the InfoWars audience has always been in the front lines. Now we're really leading the charge here. Yeah, there's another one, the one in Michigan as well. So there's no doubt, Kevin. Thank you so much for the call. I'm sorry to the other callers. We didn't have time today. By the way, Savannah, where can people find your reports? You were talking about your reports calling out the fake news. Where can people find those?
They can find them on YouTube at Sav Says, or a more reliable place where they won't get deleted, band.video under the Action 7 tab. Highly recommend going there and sharing those links.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, let me just hit a couple headlines before we break for the weekend. But we do have a rally coming up tomorrow at the Capitol in Austin, Texas at noon. Austin, Texas, State Capitol building steps at noon. We will be there. By the way, a Washington, D.C. secret military task force prepares to secure the Capitol. I don't like the sound of that. Now they're putting the coronavirus gun up to Bolsonaro's head, who's not buying into the panic or hysteria. Some of the other developments, by the way, part of the stimulus package, tens of millions went to companies that aren't even operating, folks. And now the PPE stimulus is already out of cash and Americans can't get access, but illegal immigrants are getting plenty of cash. That does it for the InfoWars War Room. You stay classy, InfoWarriors.